celebrating 3 years of bringing you the very best in LGBT talk programming. This is
Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's a little bit after 7 o'clock. It is a Tuesday night. You are in studio live with the show. We are here every single Tuesday, 7 to 10, Arizona time. We are missing one soldier this week as Marnie has chosen to take the evening off. Her girlfriend, Erin, is back in town from Peru, and they decided to struggle it out tonight, I guess.
Do it.
They're just going to be together this evening. So Marnie's out with us. So that's why you see the empty chair at the end of the old oval table. But based on other previous weeks, I think the three of us can probably fill 3 hours too. I think we'll be
four more.
Four more.
Yeah.
We're never really at a loss for stuff like that. So anyway, hello to everybody listening, watching, viewing, however it is you access this show. Thank you for doing so. We are here again every Tuesday night, and this week we have a special viewer. My mom's younger sister, Susie, is visiting from, we're just going to say Tulsa, Oklahoma, because it's close enough. She's actually from a smaller town. But she flew in to spend 10 days with my mom.
Oh,
so I think
fun.
My mom is making her suffer through this tonight at their house.
Aunt Susie.
So I can just, what I'm envisioning is a living room, two wine glasses, and a flat screen with us on it. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, so fine. Is that how you picked her up at the airport?
I did.
Is that who you picked her up?
Yes.
I went because of the last name. I thought maybe it was Matt's
nope.
sister.
Yeah. No, coincidentally, my aunt is married to somebody whose last name is Little, and my the guy owns Ed Studios is named Little, so I can see why you'd be confused with that.
Yeah, no. I knew somebody's sister was in town. I just wasn't sure who it was.
So they are there enjoying retreat at mom. She's got the pool ready, the yard's all done, everything. So I'll probably never see either one of them for 10 days.
Well, it's great pool weather. I mean,
I had a friend was posting pictures on Facebook, dinner by the pool, like a late night dinner after the sun went down, wine, nighttime swimming. That is the reason we live here. Hey, what's happening over there?
I'm not exactly sure what's happened to Al. Al, would you like to...
You okay over there?
What you have done.
It's my first time hearing that.
What did you do?
It's not worth mentioning.
Oh, my heavens. It is worth mentioning. It's all good. Well, it is 7:03. There's just three.
That is fucking wrong.
What?
Something just came and like shook these off my head.
So weird.
I don't know what it was. It's something. Make it stop. Make it stop.
I'm fighting off aliens. I don't know what's going on.
You can also join us in the chat room. Go to qtalkamerica.com and click on the banner at the top of the page, and you can join us in the chat room and let us know what you'd like us to talk about if we don't already hit on that topic. But do remember that we are too busy to take your phone calls, so don't expect that. We are very, very.
Too much to ask.
I don't do it in real life. Why would I do it here?
Right. That's true. But you can text us.
Oh, fuck it. Hopefully you can hear me.
They can.
Yeah.
I'm just doing this for the whole show, though, is going to be a problem.
It's too high. It's too low. I'm like fucking Goldilocks.
But the wine is just right.
Your earphones are falling off your head.
What the hell was that?
I don't even know how I did that.
I don't either. Nobody's really sure. Nobody's ever been sure. Holy heck. So Katie June.
Hi.
We're starting off. You've got, you said though you're missing next week with us because you're going where?
Park City.
Oh.
Utah.
Yeah.
Bingo.
In Utah.
Got it.
Kelly's mom has a timeshare. So we are, excuse me. It's actually in a Marriott property, which is even better because I was thinking timeshare means like a cabin that I have to do all the cooking and all the cleaning, and there's like no pool. It's in a Marriott
property. I'm sorry. If you
property,
buy a timeshare that doesn't have a pool, then
problem.
We need to have a conversation. Yeah.
Bad investment.
So this is like in a big, beautiful. We were looking at it online. Big, beautiful Marriott resort. So there's restaurants. There's like room service if you want it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so it's kind of hotel living.
Yeah.
Which I like.
They're called Marriott. It's like called Hilton Vacations. I don't know what Marriott's are
I don't
called.
Know. I'm not sure. But I'm really looking forward to it. It's at the base of the mountain, the ski mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we won't be doing any skiing right now.
Yeah.
But the gondola's there so we can go up the mountain and lots of hiking and it'll be fun.
Very cool.
So
yeah.
I'm inviting little sis Morgan June to come in and co-host.
So
fun.
I think it'd be fun because it acts, it kind of walks like and talks like a Katie, but it's not a Katie.
It really does. I think that if you weren't actually watching, if you just listen, you literally won't know the difference.
Yeah, she's something. So I was.
Oh, that's fun.
Thought maybe we'd ask because she'll be gone next week. Marnie will be back.
Yeah,
and then
she's fun. So hopefully she's free. That'd be fun.
And I still haven't figured out who I'm going to have to fill in for you yet, but I think Cerna, I think, is a good option for it.
Yeah.
I want to be here when Cerna's here. I know. I'm not okay with this.
I know.
Well, the funny thing is, Katie June.
Steven Cerna, if you're listening, I just sent you a text message. Yeah. Check it
out. And we got a seat available, so if you want to come down tonight, you're welcome to do so. But Katie said that she said,
I got a seat available.
She said.
He has a boyfriend, though.
Oh, well, whatever. Never stop.
I should probably calm the fuck down.
Katie said earlier that she had mentioned to Steve, she goes, hey, well, I'm going to be gone next week. He goes, no. I need you to be there.
Yeah.
He does not. He'll be shy for like 10 seconds.
Oh, no, I don't think he does. But I really honestly think, and God, of course, he just doesn't know Marnie. He was like, oh, I love you guys all, and you're having so much fun. I don't know that other girl. And I'm like, well, she's fantastic. But I think
that he does know her.
I think he knows her because of the karaoke.
Probably,
I'm sure he does.
Of course, how could you not? Everyone knows Marnie.
Well, she's been around for just as long as me and all of us. Well, you haven't been around quite as long there.
Minor. But I need to put out Dancing with the Bars.
Coming up
July 28th. And rehearsals are going swimmingly.
Good.
Sean Nerdahl, of course, is my partner, and he's literally amazing in every way.
But he also weighs like a buck.
He does.
So he's light as a feather.
That's if he's holding a 10-pound weight.
He is.
Yes, exactly.
There was a picture. One of Sean's coworkers, another dance teacher, posted a picture of him recently from a weekend from a competition they had. He is looking smoking hot. So I he's just the best partner. And also he's so good. He won top teacher at a recent competition that they had. So out of all of their Fred Astaires here in the Valley, he won top teacher. So
wow, very
go
good.
Sean. Yeah, good, we're very proud of our boy. Very
I'm cool. off that night. I might actually...
I can get you tickets if you want to go with us. Yeah, Mom's going with me.
Oh my God, you have to go.
I'm hosting
it's
it.
It's not even like a surprise I'm off. Well, I'm surprised that you're off. I thought you were already in my camp, Al.
The secret to Al is that nobody knows he has Sundays off, so he hides. That's what
I was just expecting it to be a Saturday, so I never even paid attention.
You know why they do it on Sunday is because it's a bartender centered event.
Right.
So, of course, no bartenders can get off on
Saturday.
Yeah,
nobody wants tickets. Well, I'll give up my chips on Saturday night for some game you're playing.
Yeah.
My rent's free.
You have to come. I'm actually excited. Last year when I participated, an aunt and uncle from Florida happened to be in town with my two cousins who are, you know, young adults. And so they all came and we had a lot of fun. And my mom just found out that another aunt and uncle who are equally as fantastic and fun and wonderful are in town from Illinois, so they're going to be there.
I'm not buying the coincidence thing anymore.
I know, right?
We're like 3 seconds into this story, and I'm like, no.
No, my mom's like, your aunt and uncle are coming. My mom's just trying to fill a table. Yeah. Let's get real. She's
so she bought the table. She's selling off chairs.
We have hired mourners.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, that's happening. Yeah.
Well... Oh, that's cool.
Oh, Molly, you are not chopped liver.
No, she's not.
You are the best kind of liver.
That's
really
what I was laughing
cooked
about.
Liver.
But I thought she was injured. I thought something happened to her. I thought she put something about an injury or an illness or a death. I mean, clearly not a death. She's on the chat room. So.
Oh, well, come on in, Molly.
Yeah, Molly, what are you doing?
Come knock.
Oh, yeah.
Come
in.
There's our Joyce
Duet. Come knock on our door tonight.
We have a spot.
Send us a text. Bring something interesting to talk about. We're just... Just show up. We'll figure it out somehow. Mr. Perkins, I know you've had a busy week, I'm sure.
I thought Molly was out of... I swear to God, she's been posting pictures from out of town.
That's what I... Something
there has been a baby in the mix in some photos.
Hers?
Yeah. Right, Molly?
She's not going to answer.
Not her baby.
Or just a baby.
I don't think.
She stole a baby?
It's her baby. But I saw her with a baby. I know. Everyone, Molly's had a baby.
Yeah.
So that's why she can't come in. She just had a baby.
Yeah, I thought she was posting travel pictures. So I thought she's been traveling.
I thought she was in Illinois.
There was that. Yeah. Who knows? Well, we'll find out. Maybe she's listening in Illinois, but she's certainly not rapid firing back in the chat room to tell us what the fuck's going on. So maybe that's the problem, Molly. So Al, what you doing this week?
It seems like I did something. I've seen every fucking movie. I think I've hit a new record.
Oh my God! I'm excited for entertainment segment.
Possibly 9, but I think I hit 10.
Wow.
I mean, yeah. Like seriously, My eyes are a little blurry. Things are flying off my head. I have so much movie knowledge.
Nothing to do with the wine you're drinking.
But you know, it is. No, I'm only like half a glass in.
Sure.
It's 'tis the season. You know what I mean? It's 115 degrees outside, and I don't have a pool, so right. I'm going to be in a movie theater,
right?
Or
somewhere.
In my own air conditioning. Either sure. I'm paying for my air conditioning, or the good people of Harkins are paying for my air conditioning.
Either way, it's a win-win.
Yeah.
You are welcome to come to my pool.
I know. I'm going to have to take you up on that.
For real, Evan, and I've actually had friends.
But do you
just come over and not actually hang out with me and just go in the backyard and lay out and swim. And I'm like doing other stuff.
Do you still have the Spider-Man web across it?
We've taken it off.
Okay.
And it's really easy to put back on, but we have it, you know, we have it off. Palmer's, I'm never, and maybe I'm being a little bit too like weird mom, but she's never in the backyard without me.
Watch your children around water.
Watch your children around water. Yeah. Right? She can't get through. She can't open the door. We don't have the door open yet. Not yet. And she cannot.
Well, Katie sometimes can't even open the door. So.
Yeah, I know. That's actually a true story. She can't go through the doggy door. I've tried to coax her. That's not happening.
Oh, wow. Really?
To see. Like, to test it out. Right, like, yeah, to test the waters. See if that's a thing she's going to
do. You want to make sure you have all your bases
covered. Right. Where are the vulnerabilities?
But the important thing is getting her to swimming lessons, which I was actually thinking
about. We go every week.
Every week, yeah.
So hopefully she will. She's
Because plan B always is make sure your kids can swim.
Well, no, true. Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so we don't have that on now, and I've been in an effort to just make the backyard feel really good for the summer. Mm-hmm. I clean up the dog poop every morning, so that's a win for anyone that wants to come
that
swim.
Certainly,
yeah,
is a
big win. And we have the umbrellas are open, the chairs are out.
Oh,
I mean,
how nice.
Like because you know, we've been swimming a lot, so I don't want to go out there and it'd be like smell like poop and the water's dirty.
Do you have a big dog?
No, but we have two. You know, and like a bunch of weird stray cats. That a lot of that poop is not theirs.
Oh, seriously,
a lot of alley cats.
My backyard has poop from the three black cats that live in my neighborhood. Yeah,
there is a lot of animal matter in the back that does not belong to our house.
Animal matter.
Yeah, I don't know who's fucking. And I think there's three. I've lost count now. Like they used to all travel as a pack.
Yeah,
but now they've each kind of picked their own backyard out of the three houses that finished my block.
They suck. I heard one last night.
When they're on my car, that gives me the creeps because that just looks like.
I heard one in my backyard last night. The dogs, all of us. I was just sitting on my phone, whatever, in the dark, not playing Candy Crush or anything. But,
no.
I was not playing annoying phone games. But I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, I hear rawr, and the dogs went apeshit and go running out in the backyard, and I. May or may not have been too glued to my phone to actually get up and look what was happening, but I heard it all out there. And, you know, I hate the alley cats, and when they're in heat and they make that noise and it sounds like Palmer accidentally got out of her bed and she's wandering around in an alley, like, it sounds like a baby's crying.
We've protected her from the pool, but not from the alley.
But you know what they keep away? Rats.
And
so
your
thank
area has,
you.
There's roof rats
it's
in the area now.
It's that central Phoenix. There's roof rats everywhere. I would rather have like a backyard full of alley cats than see a roof rat.
Right.
So they're invited anytime.
Oh, next door, before the charming gay boys moved in, it was an old man and he had two orange trees.
Oh, like the ornamental and.
But no, not ornamental. I mean, full of oranges.
Oh, big oranges.
But he was too old to pick them and he wasn't paying anybody to pick them. And I was like, we are just seconds away. Because that's what the roof rats are eating.
Yeah.
They get the spoiled oranges and then work their
way
up
to your
roof.
Right.
Oh, I mean, he didn't die, so he's still alive and quite well somewhere.
just not at your house or your neighbor's house.
He hurt his knees and he was unable to live by himself, so they put him somewhere and sold his house.
I hope he was aware of these things happening. Sorry.
Ciao, Bella.
And I thought the cats were his, but it turns out they weren't his either. They were just strays.
Well,
I grew up with three orange trees, two grapefruit trees, and a lemon tree. Actually, in our yard. And it was so nice to have those fruit trees. We ate the fruit all the time. I had grapefruit for breakfast every single morning, and it was really nice. But I think in the area of town that I was, it was all just really low residential. I don't know.
They have to be picked. The problem is they're not being
picked.
And
we had them picked regularly.
Right. That's the problem.
My dad was out there. We were out there. We had the big orange picker, and Yeah. I loved it. I had mentioned to Kelly at one point that I would love to have fruit trees, and that got shut down
right away. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was like, not happening. No. Not ever. Go to the, here's an extra $5. Pick up some extra oranges at the store.
Right. Or if you want to pretend they're fresh, they're selling them on the corner.
And yeah. I'm the same way. I wouldn't want either, because they're a mess and they attract everything. And yeah, I don't.
Now, they smell good when they're blooming.
I know. And 2 weeks later, my allergies start, but that is the most beautiful smell. Have you noticed, though, here, as opposed to, like, Florida or some parts of California, no one sells oranges on the street? Like, I made that.
They used to here. I don't know if they buy
them anymore. I have never seen.
I don't see it.
And you never see anybody, like, when you leave Florida, everybody goes home with, like, the big bag of oranges. Yeah. Like, I don't know. In New York,
everybody
vacations
in Florida. You know what we have in our neighborhood is we do have some people with fruit trees in our neighborhood, and they put them out in big wheelbarrows. Like, well, there's this one woman that does, like, big grapefruits. And I love that because when it's season and it's, you know, and they're all in season and I just go down and she's got a wheelbarrow of grapefruits in her, at the end of her driveway.
Just there for the picking?
Yeah.
Seen, in all my years here, I've never seen anybody, like, pushing oranges or selling them on the roadside or anything.
Are you in South Phoenix? Because I feel like it's happening maybe. Levine area.
Yeah, that's where Tim and I lived.
Check your demographic.
In the cornfield. Now, the corn used to be for sale. There used to be a little, when we lived in the cornfield, there was a shack, and this is being kind. There was a shack on the cornfield side, and then there was a lesser shack.
Yeah.
You know how at Dillard's there's dresses and better dresses? Yeah. Well, this was not the better dresses section of Southern Avenue. But they used to sell the corn, and then they would sell eggs. I mean, every day they had eggs for sale because they had so many chickens, and they took them somewhere at some kind of farmer's market. But they had so many chickens that you could go and just buy, like, 6 or 8 eggs.
Yeah.
You didn't have to buy a dozen, as it turns out. That's a grocery store thing. Mm-hmm. Oh. But you could just buy however many you wanted.
Quantity.
They were delicious. Like, it's just a weird number to sell. Like, why do you need 12? Yeah. But so it was always nice to go there, and then they, just sing something Joni Mitchell there.
Yeah, I don't
know. Pave paradise and put up a parking lot.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? Like, it was going to be a subdivision, so they got rid of all the corn, and then the economy failed, so now it's just dirt.
You should have had more corn.
When we first moved to Arizona, my dad picked grapes.
Okay.
That's so random. In the fields. And that was way out when that South Phoenix area was not developed.
Right.
It was just fields. So it was him and a bunch of migrant workers. And he would come home all the time with the big crates of grapes. Mm-hmm. But all of the neighboring farmers, you know, they all, like, swapped stuff. So he'd bring strawberries home and corn home and, like, all kinds of fresh vegetables. Excuse me. And additionally, tortillas and, like, tamales, like, all the stuff that the migrant workers' wives were making. I mean, it was, like, kind of neat.
It was like their cool own to go down there when it was all the florists. Like, there was all the
flower fields
were down there. All the, and you could drive down Bayside because there was nothing there.
Yeah,
right.
Like, nada.
Yeah.
And then I lived in Chandler before it wasn't Chandler. I lived in South Phoenix. Chandler adjacent or south of Ahwatukee in that little corner that really is Phoenix, no matter what anybody tries to bullshit you. Tell you they're in some beautiful suburb. You're in Phoenix, assholes. Yes. I live there. But there was nothing. And the one restaurant, like, I lived at 48th and Ray. Honest to God, the one restaurant that we liked was at Chandler Boulevard and McClintock.
Okay.
And your directions were, we lived at 48th Street. Make a left. It's the first building on the right. It was like 7 miles,
right.
So you hit another thing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking when I first moved here 20 years ago, like, where IKEA is and all those things out there, it was all cotton fields. There was nothing out there.
Yeah, that's
where she was talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
When we moved out, even when I was
like, why do I pay so much for goddamn sweaters? There's sheeps over there. There's cotton growing over there. Like, why is Benetton so expensive?
when my folks moved out to the West Valley even, so that was when I was in junior high, so like 1993, 94, and... You know, I don't know if you're as familiar with the West Valley, but the Arrowhead Mall did not exist.
Oh, no. I remember when it was open.
On Bell.
I remember when it opened.
Yeah. And there was that Target. And I thought Target, I was just starting to become familiar with my surroundings and shopping. And, you know, I'm like 13 kind of. And I remember thinking Target was like the most glamorous store on earth, because when you turned around the corner, it was just the Target, and this whole street was lined with palm trees. And I was like,
it was totally like
that was Rodeo Drive to me, like driving down that Target driveway. And that was it.
Or Belt Road, depending on how you look at it.
Is my friend Eddie potato would say, potato fucking fancy?
Yeah, it was fucking fancy. And on the other side of Bell was all orange groves. Mm-hmm. Crazy! It's crazy, 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 crazy.
But the fact that there was farmland here in this barren wasteland just kills me. Like, how do you grow shit here?
Water the fuck out of it, for one.
Well, no, but you know what I mean? Like, half of Africa is in a drought. So are we. Like, what are we doing different?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Send them rice.
Send them luggage.
Move. Yeah. Yes.
Say that old Sam Kinison joke always made me laugh. Don't send these people food. Send them luggage. We have deserts. We don't live in them.
Sam Kinison. Good job.
Still dead.
So did we? Yeah, still dead. Years ago. So in all that, did we find out what you'd been doing?
just movies.
Okay, movies. That was it. God, I was like, well, I know somewhere there was a point.
Yeah, before the orange trees. Right? Yeah. And you, sir?
Well, my weekends are always full of exciting things. Like, I took mom's car this weekend to put a new radiator in it because, you know, summertime in Arizona makes things just blow up and do all that kind of stuff. So I got that. But I was very happy to have my truck back. It's funny how cars are okay, but I really like my truck.
Yeah.
My trucks are much better. So
where was your oh, your mom was driving your truck, right, while you were doing
this. Swap.
Okay.
We did a hostage swap for vehicles. Yeah, so did that. And then just, of course, just the normal. It's always you know, work and stuff and fun for me. And a misadventure of going into Stacy's before he opened on Sunday, so I could make an image of a computer of his, so I could use it for something else. He's like, here, try this. I make Bloody Marys this way. So he has a cilantro vodka and this some mix. Well, two of those later. And I'm like, well, I can't. It's afternoon now.
Yeah.
So now I have to go to another beverage. Well, then I Crown and Diet was just it.
Fell
and it
into
just
a
went,
glass.
It went just downhill.
I know. I saw your post. I'm like, oh, and he always claims he's always doing good things for the people. He's always doing charitable works. And I'm like, you're fucking drinking on a Sunday.
Yeah, because I saw
only on that.
And then like every 2 hours it would change.
I did too. And
locations.
Then,
not really, just sentences.
Yeah, but that was fun. Was this the next day when you posted, I normally come in and look for my clothes around the house, but
right.
you had like lost your wallet and jewelry
and
your dignity, maybe, like all of those things.
Long gone.
1988.
Yeah.
that was Saturday morning after my Friday night at working at Charlie's.
Oh, okay.
Because
we were questioning whether or not you had proposed to someone,
right,
anyone.
Right, which I verified that didn't happen. But
okay, good.
Knowing how I am, I get emotional when I drink sometimes, and I'll decide, you know, I'm trying to make the master plan.
Yeah, menopause isn't going well for you either.
No. So, really? We're going to go there? God, it's hot in here.
Yeah.
So, I just, if you've ever gone home and you come apart in segments, so like you hit the door and like the keys and maybe a watcher there, and then your shoes are here, and then just everything is in stages. Well, all of my jewelry, everything was on the desk in a pile, and I just, one ring I can't find. So I don't know if I had just drank so much that I'd swelled up and I couldn't get it off somewhere. So it's somewhere else in the house where I finally got it to, you know, disengage from my digit. I'm not sure where the hell it is, but I've lost a ring somewhere.
Yeah.
But again, I did verify that I did not, because I thought maybe I had decided that was the night to...
Tonight's the night.
Yeah, no. Well,
I just undress it. I get home and I just undress in front of the bathroom. I don't know why I decide that right in front of the bathroom door is where all clothes
in the
leave.
Hallway?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I live alone, so I'm like, and their clothes are gone. Like, that's it. We're done.
I can tell.
We're down to the pajamas.
When I come home after a night of heavy imbibbing...
adult entertainment.
Yeah.
It sounds worse.
I know how rough the night went. Same thing, Clayton, based on like where I find my things the next day. And mm-hmm. I don't really strew them throughout the house anymore, but in the bedroom are things hung up? Are shoes put back in the closet? Or is like the shirt here and this is here and God only knows where else, and I'm passed out in the middle of the floor. You know, there's like,
yeah. Am I asleep by the toilet? That usually is a sign that the night's gone
wrong. I did wake up one night on the floor, like face down, It was really not cute. And I had a
ring. So by all means, share it with everybody.
I had a ring on my finger, right? Same thing. And it was just a really not a cute night. And I had to go the next day. I could not get this fucking ring off my finger. And I had to go to the fire station and try to get it off. And then I actually had to call one of my doctor friends. And this was embarrassing. While she's like treating children at her facility, at her practice, on like a random like Wednesday morning at 9 a.m., I reek like booze. My hair is stuck in the air. And I'm like,
so this ring kept
my
you
finger.
From bathing?
Yes. Actually, it did. I had to go like first thing, and I had to get this ring cut off my finger. It was just a mess. It was horrible.
Well, so that's how my weekend went.
Like soap and a,
oh, I did. I was like panic
thread. City. For some reason, the thread works.
Oh, I've never heard that.
I buttered, soaped, cold ice water,
held your hand
up in the air.
Very busy. Well.
Wow, you really swell up when you drink.
Oh, it was bad. It
yeah,
really
that's
bad.
My problem. It is 7:26. It's a Tuesday night. Again, thank you for listening to the show on Q Talk America. My name is Clayton McKee. Tonight, I'm in studio with Katie June and Al Perkins. Marnie has the night off. We'd like to say hello to all the live listeners right now in the United States.
Hello.
Also, Kuwait and France listening.
Kuwait is like a regular listener.
Yeah.
God bless
and
that.
Oddly, I haven't seen in the chat room. I had not seen Tyler from Tennessee. So I don't know if he is in a Pigeon Forge or if he's gone to Dollywood for an overnight stay. I'm not sure what
I like.
Done.
I like that Kuwait and France are like regulars.
Yeah,
it's like week three
again. If
Kuwait's been around for a while.
And again, if you're listening out there, we'd love for you to pop into the chat room, say hi, let us know what you're doing, who you are, why you're listening. Maybe not so much why.
Trapped under something heavy.
can't shut it off for some reason. Yes,
my internet's stuck on this channel.
My caregiver has left the building and won't turn his goddamn station off.
Oh, our internet only goes to this one website. God damn it!
Fucking rabbit ears.
It is 7:27. We have headlines coming up. We also have entertainment. Don't forget our drinking game starts at the top of hour two. We have some thoughtful vulgarity much later in the show, and sports with Katie. We have all kinds of fun things coming up. And now I'm going to try to play a little promotional thing with a new system that Joe DeGanzik. By the way, Joe, thank you very much. I like the new opening and crossover videos you made for us looked fantastic.
We love
I love so, the new opening.
Cool.
I love the text thing.
Was it the gibberish of the lawyer or something?
Yeah, I can't remember what word he used. The gobbledygook.
Something about scissors.
Yes.
In the crossover, it has something else.
Joe
about
made a funny.
Mache. Yes, very good. So anyway, it's we're coming back with some headlines right after this on Q-Talk America.
Are you as excited and maybe even nervous as we are about the upcoming decisions that will be handed down by the Supreme Court of the United States later this month? Hello, everyone. I'm Randall White, host of Equality Radio here on Q Talk America, in anticipation of what will surely be a historic day. The staff here at Equality Radio is hard at work putting together expert guests, background information, and legal analysis for a solid day of live coverage. We are greatly expanding our show that day to fit the occasion, and we want to be sure you have a forum to express your thoughts as history unfolds around us. There may be no other day more important in LGBT history than what's about to happen. Equality Radio on Q Talk America will be here for you on that day.
This is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
Alrighty, some headlines that we're going to look at, among other things, on this Tuesday night. It is, I believe, the 18th of June, 2013. Caterpillar drops Boy Scout funding over gay ban. Westboro Baptist Church keeps it classy. Proposed ban on abortion after 15 weeks because the fetuses seem to pleasure themselves. Record company is sued over the Happy Birthday song rights. And a psychic must pay $7 million over a bad tip. Just the tip, sir.
Just the tip.
Oh my heavens! There was a lot. I was surprised at how many different things showed up in headlines today. There's all kinds of stuff. Obviously, you've been hearing lately in the news that the Boy Scouts of America's halfway ban on openly gay members, permitting gay youth but forbidding openly gay or lesbian adults from serving as scouts or volunteers, wasn't enough to keep former corporate sponsor Caterpillar on board with them. Now, all of us, if you don't are unfamiliar with Caterpillar. They make really big, oftentimes yellow earth moving machines that
and
you see.
And sometimes butterflies.
Oh, yeah, but they don't.
Oh, sweet. Precious.
Spoken like a gay scout. A spokeswoman for the equipment manufacturer confirmed to the Associated Press on Thursday that Caterpillar has ended its financial giving to the Boy Scouts because of its discriminatory policy. The decision was not directly tied to the BSA's May decision to partially repeal its longstanding ban on service to, quote, open or avowed homosexuals.
Avowed. I'm an avowed homosexual.
You can tell I didn't type this. Rachel Pott told Associated Press, but rather this decision came after the Illinois-based company reviewed a request for $25,000 from a local scouting council. So I think it's nice that,
go Caterpillar,
that they're standing up and saying, look.
It's an unlikely... Yeah, right. You really wouldn't.
You wouldn't think that because again, they're kind of all butchy. Well, no, well, maybe that's it. With their earth moving equipment, and you know, they're all manly men with all their equipment and all that stuff. Oh, by the way, Katie is opening up gluten free brownies.
I've been experimenting with gluten free baking.
Yeah, so she's.
They actually.
How do you think, Al?
Are pretty tasty.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, they're really rich.
So it's a go. It's a go, Al. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Whatever makes a brownie, it ain't gluten.
Well, our dear friends, and you know, they do nothing but really good things.
We have to go back on that one because I was eating a brownie. No backlash from that, though, right? Like the million moms haven't decided to like ride a tractor through hell.
Oh, my God.
I can read a little bit more about the story.
Because, you know, like they have the don't go to Starbucks because they support this. And well, I cannot believe an evangelical has not like shunned their tractor over this. I'm really surprised with no follow up.
The Boy Scouts of America public relations director, Darren Smith, told the Associated Press in an emailed statement, although we are disappointed in the decision, we believe Caterpillar is a great company and appreciate all it has done for the youth in our local communities. Our focus continues to be on working together to deliver a foremost youth program of character development and values-based leadership training.
Hmm. I'm just surprised there's been nothing from, like, Anita Bryant hasn't crawled out from under something to comment.
Well, she's
like,
underneath the Caterpillar.
Yeah.
They ran her over. Anita Bryant. Speaking of oranges, that bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Good use of a caterpillar if you're running around.
Yes. Well, again, you leave it up to these wonderful people in Kansas. The Westboro Baptist Church has responded to one little darling girl's campaign to raise money for peace the only way that they seem to know how, with a homophobic jab. Oh, I also have a handout just to show you this, so you can I didn't blow it up. No, it's all right. Over the weekend, the story of Jaden Sink, her little girl, and her lemonade stand went viral online with thousands of people sharing news about how a 5-year-old took on the Westboro Baptist Church. As the Huffington Post previously reported, Jaden is the daughter of John Sink, founder of the philanthropic arts group called Fresh Cassette, Creative Compassion. The two decided to sell...
Stale 8-track or Fresh Cassette.
Something, either one. Or Reel to Reel.
Sounds cute.
The two decided to sell lemonade outside the Equality House, which is, for those of you who remember, March, a guy bought the house directly across from the church, painted it the colors of the rainbow. it's a dwelling owned by the nonprofit organization called Planting Peace that does campaign for human rights, gay rights, and anti-bullying efforts. So they were raising money on this Saturday with their... lemonade stand. The Equality House sits across the street from the church, located in Topeka, Kansas, which is west of the 71. Never mind. It's a long joke. To compound the anti-gay, quasi-religious group was none too happy with Jaden's event, so members of the group apparently attempted to call the local police and later started yelling profanities at the lemonade drinkers. On Monday, Westboro members took things to a whole new low when they posted an anti-gay message on their marquee across from the house that says, quote, "Fags and enablers all burn in hell. Lemonade won't cool any tongues." They are a crafty bunch, aren't they? They are something. But the whole reason for this whole thing was the fact that the little girl learned that the church, she couldn't understand how a church could promote hate. She didn't get that. So she wants to promote love.
A lot of
love.
People don't, little Jaden.
Right, no, that's true.
Yeah, a lot of people are with you.
Welcome to Kansas, Virginia.
So over the course, of course, we all know who the real winner is. It's this Jaden. It's this little girl who's raised, this said $16,000. I think they're at $20,000 now, $20,000. And it is going back towards the organization that owns the house and a couple other charities there locally that promote anti-bullying and good things. So this little 5-year-old girl who...
She's five? I missed that part.
I think she's 5 years old.
Wow.
And like the kid with the petition last week in Tennessee was 11. Wow. The kid that started that. And I'm sure, I mean, I'm sure his parents helped him, and I'm sure this girl is not squeezing $20,000 worth of lemonade at 5 cents a pop.
But they also have an online donation, so if you couldn't drive by, you could just click and donate.
And hopefully bring that wheelbarrow full of lemons right up to her. So I didn't know how I was going to sneak this in, but thank God you helped me.
Oh.
So last week we were talking about West Christopher Street, which is that organization.
Yeah, Christopher Street, CSW.
Yeah, Christopher Street West. Because my big thing with the whole IRS tax scandal and all this stuff and these Tea Party groups being
audited
for being tax exempt when they're really pushing political agendas.
Right, which is bullshit.
And we have to go with, like, fair for everybody. Like, Christopher Street West has a political agenda. Like, they may do good works, but they're influencing politics. They were listed as a 501c group.
I'm like,
you all have to pay taxes. Churches, I know, we'll get
what
to churches
last. What do they do specifically? Or do you...
No, but one of the things is you're supposed to stay away from politics for these groups, but that's all they do is politics.
Christopher Street West?
Any group that applies for these 501c.
Right. Well, I'm just asking specifically about CSW. And I'm just curious. I know when I worked at Phoenix Pride that it was a really big... We really stayed away from it. You know, at one point we had someone on the board that wanted to do political advocacy work, and we very politely but sternly said... If that's what you want to do, this is not the place for you.
Right,
this is not what we do.
You have to steer clear. So that's my thing all pride things end up being political. It's where you find, except for, you know, the one year in Flagstaff when all we could get together was agree that veal was bad. Like, I'm sorry, there's human rights at stake and your people are standing out here looking for petitions.
Here's what the thing is, though.
Free the veal.
Because ultimately, yes. So at Phoenix Pride, we register people to vote.
Right.
And that is completely within our 501c3 purview. We don't have to have a 501c4 and we are still a non-classified nonprofit. The difference is when you start taking in money and putting any of that money towards political ventures. So we're registering people to vote. Let's be realistic. If you're at Phoenix Pride and you're registering to vote,
we know who we're getting. Yeah. Okay, and I'll give you the my thing is if it's for the Tea Party, that everyone should be held to those strict standards.
Mm-hmm.
And the Tea Party should be getting double audited because they do nothing not political.
And they are specifically paying money into political campaigns.
Campaigns. I mean, they gave us, what's her fuck? Christine O'Donnell. Yeah. They gave us Sharon Engel. Yeah. I mean, they've given us every horrible woman politician that there is.
But I don't disagree with you. And one of the things that NPR brought up just in this regard was Emerge America, which I happen to be really familiar with. And there's a great Emerge Arizona chapter here. And Emerge America trains women, Democratic females, to run for office. And they were one of the first groups to be audited, as a matter of fact.
Right.
And rightfully so.
Right. Because that's
what they do. They don't train Republican women. They're partisan. And so they couldn't have the specifics 501c whatever status they had applied for. So it is happening.
On the same page on that. They have to be very careful because right now everyone's working towards – you know, gay marriage and starting these campaigns. So where's the money coming from? Because we know who we're against, and these people are wanting tax exemption. So we have to make sure we're playing by that same standard.
I agree with you.
That just made me nervous.
And it's when the money's going.
The one that made me look at it.
And it's a percentage, too. It's like you can spend a small percentage of your money to – if you're a 501c4, you can give –
A small
percentage of your money toward actual electioneering activities, but the rest of it can go to registering to vote, for example.
Right.
Because that's nonpartisan.
So that's, I mean, for people that were confused about this issue, like, I'm glad we're both on the same page. Because I thought this is a little bit of bullshit because it was the first thing that came up when I looked up Central Park West and it was either the no hate or the fuck off. What was the anti-bullying one?
Fuck you. We talked about the campaign last week.
One of those was trying to register as well. And that's why I was saying about the no hate. Like, where does that money go?
We still don't totally know what's happening with
that. Right, and that better not be a non-profit. Like, they better be paying taxes on those $40 fucking photos.
making money.
You're making money.
He's not doing that, like, out of the kindness of his own heart.
Right.
I think it started there, and then he realized, whoa, this can
really
bankroll
profitable.
Me. Yeah. Maybe we should get an interview with, what's his name, Biska?
I would like that, yeah.
Biska? Maybe we should talk to him about
that. Yeah, I would like to read.
And also, maybe he can take our pictures. That'd be fun.
By the way, we'll let you redeem yourself.
Investigative interview.
Right.
But by the way, bring me a little cheek sticky.
Bring me some tape and pictures. Oh, well, on this next story, let me start by saying this is not satire. Even at my most creative, I'm pretty sure I couldn't have come up with this story, as asinine or absurd as it is, on my own, and I wouldn't even have tried. But the wonderful state of Texas has done it again. Last night, House Representative Michael Burgess took the position that abortion should be illegal after 15 weeks because he believes that he's seen a male fetus put its hands between their legs and feel pleasure. I don't know how the fuck he sees this. He's got great eyesight, I guess. So, just I mean, take really, he thinks he sees this.
Well, they're voting again.
So the statement,
like, they're all about jobs and everybody's distracted, but they're voting to close, to keep Guantanamo open. They're voting on abortion for the millionth time, and we had 37 passes at the Affordable Care Act. Like, do something real, finally. Make us stop hating you. Do something to make us stop hating you.
Ain't going
to
happen.
Well, if they just shut up, we'd stop hating them. Yeah. The statement from Burgess was made in support of a bill proposed, oddly, as we sit here in the great state of Arizona, by Arizona Republican House Representative Trent Franks, who is just as delusional, apparently, as Mr. Burgess. Franks recently stated, quote, "The incidence of rape resulting in pregnancy are very low." His comments were made in defense of the bill that is, in its original form, didn't allow exceptions for rape or incest following the backlash stemming from Frank's idiotic comments about rape. Exceptions for rape and incest were suddenly added to this bill.
Yeah, because they're not even... Go ahead.
And the party of stupid strikes again.
After the election, they had every pundit, like even the most conservative people were on there.
Right. Maybe not like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity.
No, even Sean Hannity was saying, stop using the word rape. Like, if we can make it one election cycle where you don't bring it up because all you do is make yourself into...
Look
assholes.
Bad.
Right.
Yeah. Like, all we have to do is get from now to 2014 without saying the word rape, and we're not even 6 months in.
And I don't think this was us talking about this last week, but I love, love, love in the morning the Bruce St. James show. I've talked about it before on KTAR.
Right.
And they're pretty conservative. You know, Bruce St. James is a pretty conservative guy. But even he was saying, quit talking about abortion. Stop talking about abortion. Right. Don't ever erase the word rape from your vocabulary. Yeah. Erase the abortion.
They absolutely cannot do it.
And he even said, you are destroying the Republican Party.
Right.
You are destroying it single-handedly.
Because
just can't shut the fuck up.
Now, are you ready for this one? And I did. I saved the article. Just to stay on this, let me find it.
I will say that you know, the other guy on that morning show,
the new guy, Mike,
was saying, which I'm not totally sure how I feel about him quite yet. You know, you have to get used to the new people. Anyhow, he was saying he was really trying to defend Trent Franks. And I understand because I had heard this previously. Was that, you know, Trent Franks was saying that by the time you get to the 20th week, if you had been raped or were abused by a family member and a pregnancy resulted, that by the 20th week, you have most likely had that pregnancy terminated.
Yeah.
And I can understand. And that makes sense.
You've made your decision and you've moved on.
You've made your decision.
Right.
But that's not what he meant when he originally said
that. Sure,
didn't
sound like that.
He has been running on the abortion issue.
I will say he backed it up smartly, though. That was a smart
smart.
That was the smartest beep.
But if that's really, if that's really what he meant, then I'm sorry, but I'm going with the, you know, with this tactic. But if that's really what he meant, then he wouldn't have tacked it on. He wouldn't have added it afterward, added those exceptions. And this is the guy whose campaign posters, right? He's a West Valley congressman. He's where I grew up. And his campaign posters forever, it's pictures of babies. It's literally gigantic posters of children, and it has his name on it. I mean, he's run on this, like, pro-life thing. That's all he cares about.
Yeah. Well, continuing on with this, the story itself, though it's somewhat ironic that the party, which often stands to fiercely against sex education, is now attempting to use the, quote, immoral act of, quote, pleasuring oneself as a tool to support a bill that would take away yet more control a woman has over her own body. But apparently, according to Burgess, only male fetuses put their hands between their legs.
In fact, a woman would never masturbate.
No. But in fact, his statements specifically point out males for this behavior. He says, quote, "Watch a sonogram of a 15-week-old baby, and they have movements that are purposeful. They stroke their face if they're a male baby, and they have their hand between their legs if they feel pleasure. That is why is it so hard to think that they couldn't feel pain?"
Somebody punch him.
God
damn it. Somebody punch him. 15 weeks old. Get your head out of your ass. They look like a tadpole. I don't even think there is legs. There's barely legs at 15 weeks. You can barely tell the sex of a baby at 15 weeks. They are not, you're not watching 15 week old.
And this coming from a woman who has had a baby.
Yeah. You know what?
I don't think he has had one. Mr. Burgess.
Well, he is a former or is an OBGYN. So that's where he feels like like his.
So then don't offer them. So at your OBGYN practice.
Thank you.
Don't offer
thank
them.
Thank you.
Don't make that a service you provide.
We found out Palmer's gender at 13 weeks. At a specialty clinic, our OBGYN would not offer this, as a matter of fact. We had to go to a specialty clinic if we want to find out. And even at 13 weeks, they said, we think she's a girl, but don't go painting the bedroom quite yet. You know?
Give it time.
So I'm sorry, but at 15 weeks, you're not watching a little tiny baby fetus masturbate.
Right, no, it's not happening.
Exactly. So if everybody remembers from the Oscar season, the movie that I wanted to win was called The Invisible War. And it offered no answers. But it was a very dark, shining light on rape within the military,
mm-hmm.
and getting people to pay attention to the fact that these rapes are happening at something like 70 a day or something like that. I mean, just an alarming number. And I may have just pulled that number out of my ass, judging from last week's show where we made so many errors that I'll correct a couple later. But I mean, the number of sexual assaults in the military is alarming. And now mm-hmm. Obama's on it where he's saying like zero tolerance. They made Hagel, the new guy, they made him watch it. They made Panetta take responsibility for it.
This is a big issue for him.
They're trying to change so that you don't report to your – report in the chain of command and that they don't do it in a military tribunal. You are tried in a civilian court so that you can't have – because most of the time the people that are being raped by their superiors.
Right.
So you're reporting your rape to your rapist.
Right. And they're like – Which can't find that file anywhere.
Yeah, just horrible. Yeah. So now, Wall Street Journal, which is like cunt haven, these people, James, I'm going to say Taranto is how I'm going to pronounce it. He says that military sexual assault investigations are becoming a war on men. activists and members of Congress have fought a highly publicized campaign in recent months to curb the astounding levels of rape and assault in the military. This James Taranto, though, was apparently so disturbed by one investigation they called the entire debate a political campaign against sexual assault in the military that shows signs of becoming an effort to criminalize male sexuality.
Oh, God.
When did rape become male sexuality?
I can't even.
I don't know.
Like, who is this fuck?
SMH, shaking my head. Yeah, because I read this today. And there were some really good people tweeted about it. Article I was reading on Gawker or whatever had posted some of the best tweets.
On this guy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The one that I said, this guy, this asshole, James Taranto, cunt of the year award as far as I'm concerned. We got a nominee here. After the Aurora.
Oh, my God. That should be a new segment.
The cunt of the year.
Of the year.
Yeah. Cunt of the week. Because that way we can do it more than once.
Yeah.
So after the Aurora shootings at the Dark Knight Rises, he said, I hope the girls whose boyfriends died to save them were worthy of the sacrifice.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Wow.
This is like Ann Coulter's ruder cousin.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Oh, just put her and Ann Coulter, him and Ann Coulter together. That'd be a hell of a show
in
to watch.
In a room, maybe, like Saw. Just like lock them in a room and watch what happens. Well, what, okay.
I can't even wrap my mind around this shit.
And you can't. And you literally can't. So
but
I was reading it.
To the Wall Street Journal.
I know. Well, my blood started to boil and I just had to moving on.
I read it just as I was getting ready to come here. I'm really fucking high.
Did you see the tweet, though, that somebody, it was the very bottom, if it's the same article, or it was a girl that tweeted basically like most guy, what did she say? Most men actually don't rape.
Yeah, most men don't rape, actually, James, but implying that they do emboldens rapists who want to believe they're normal.
Yes, and I just thought that was like the best thing to say is that no, actually, most guys don't do this.
Like
you sick son of a bitch.
We brought up Steubenville,
and they're not
week.
Normal.
The Steubenville, the football players that raped the girl on camera, they raped her, published it, and then they had to take the time to take up a trial. They did it and they published it. Like, they put it all over the school and they're trying to make out the girl is easy. I don't give a shit if she's a fucking whore walking in the back alley with your cats. You don't rape somebody.
No.
There is no blame the victim ever. That does not exist.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it in your fucking hands.
What else did I read recently that someone had posted? If you would feel, and I think this was like about a parenting thing. If you would feel that, if you feel that it would be necessary to talk to your daughter about being safe, then you also need to talk to your sons about
not raping,
controlling themselves. Like, yeah. If you need to tell your daughter, let's, you know, here's the ways that you can protect yourself, yeah. Right? Don't get super drunk and pass out at parties. Make sure you're taking care of your friends. Don't be slutty.
Don't park next to a van in a parking garage.
Yes, that girls need to also be aware of.
Don't talk to strangers with candy.
But it's like, it's just crazy. Because even a drunk girl passed out on the floor at a party is not laying there asking for you to stick your penis in it.
Yeah, that's just fucking
so hideous.
Fucking retarded. That these people need to be told that rape, that this asshole, and I think we need to go to his house.
Yeah.
Tyler's not here to check me either. First, I'm going to call him a retard, and then I'm going to say, we need to go to this motherfucker's house.
We don't have
somebody
a budget
needs to
for
rape
it.
Him.
And show him what rape means. I mean, some of these people just seriously need a baseball bat shoved up their ass until they figure out, this is what rape feels like, motherfucker.
Yeah. You don't like it, right?
Yeah, if you're not enjoying this.
Is it legitimate yet? How far does a baseball bat have to go up your ass before you realize, oh, no, now it's legitimate?
It's really true. It's really shocking that, the conversations that we're having surrounding just rape in general are happening.
The pulse in my body is racing over this conversation.
Shocking.
The fact that, they couldn't do it. And, like, everyone on Fox News said, they all sat in a panel and said, all we have to do is make it to 2014 without saying the word rape. They all sat there that next day.
Have you seen,
they said it the night of the election.
They won't make
have
it.
You
no,
seen
they didn't. They haven't. We're
articles.
In, it's June.
Yeah. Have you seen articles, too? I wish I would have, read the whole thing, but I was kind of skimming the internet the other day, and it said there was some article about how Fox News is, kind of leading the charge of the Republican Party down the toilet. Like, they're, and not that we haven't all known this for years, but there are more,
coming to you live, the end.
Mainstream, news outlets are kind of suggesting that Fox News is really playing a super
big role
in shame on you. The Republican Party. And I don't know, I just thought it was interesting.
They've been getting it. They had those three fucktards. I mean, they just can't, these, I don't know why they let men talk, including me. But they had these three guys, and it was, what's the fat, pasty guy that's always pissed off about immigration that's on there now?
I don't know, but I don't watch
Carl
it.
Rowe,
I really don't.
No, it's not him.
Only ones I know are Rush and
I know the guy you're talking about.
Three of them, and the one guy is like
a doctor of corn
growing or something.
Of course.
Stupid ass shit. And they were talking about how detrimental it was that women were becoming, are now a bigger part of the workforce.
Oh,
they're becoming.
Yeah.
They're becoming
the
breadwinners.
40% of homes now?
40%
of homes with children.
With children.
Women is the breadwinner.
Right.
And they were saying it doesn't happen in nature, that this is completely unnatural. And they're like, a pride of fucking lions, retards. Like, what the fuck? Watch goddamn Lion King and get your political news.
Gosh.
But Megyn Kelly, who should have been cunt of the week, but unfortunately she's down with Jam Brewer in the good corner. She took them on. She got them on as guests, and she's like, I want you to tell me that my having a job is bad for my kids. Go. And she took them on. It was all over Facebook last
night. I didn't see that.
And she just tore them apart. She's like, listen, we we're conservative values, we're all that kind of stuff, but when you start just outright, you're starting
making weird shit up.
You're just starting the war on women. Who's gonna vote for you when you're sitting there saying that a working woman is bad for her children? They're not gonna pull the lever for you.
Yeah.
Think it through, you dumb fucking assholes.
People.
But Megyn Kelly, and then, so the best thing was, and Jon Stewart had a field day with it. He's like,
God,
look who's taking
him
up. I don't even have to say anything. Megyn Kelly took care of this.
This week's show, we're going to cut to Fox News and Friends.
Just watch that for a minute. Yeah. Well, let's move on.
And clearly I shouldn't, because it makes my blood boil.
Well, I can't.
Keep you from being cold. That's one less movie you watch. Let's go to Mountain Home, Pennsylvania, shall we?
We shall.
Pennsylvania police say a man threatened to kill a woman's horse if she didn't have sex with him. The Pocono Record reported Friday that 18-year-old, now get this, this is a name, Xavier Papo Lisiaga de Jesus, waived his right to a preliminary hearing. His lawyer says the Henryville man plans to plead guilty to burglary and gun theft stemming from two different incidents. Defense attorney Jason Labara tells the paper he's unsure what motivated his client's action. I'm going to say liquor and horny.
Yeah. Well, I'll go with the usual suspect.
Court records indicate the gun theft was reported April 19th, and cash and other items were taken from the same property a month later. In late May, Police say a woman who lives there found a note on her vehicle telling her to, quote, come naked to the orange truck or your horse will die.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I've written that once.
Police say De Jesus has confessed to the incident.
Let me see that. That's delightful.
I thought you might like that one.
Mountain Home, Pennsylvania.
Mountain Home. Or Mountain Her. Would it be legitimate? You never know.
Oh, come on. It's just a horse.
Yeah, well, a horse is a horse, of course. Well, now, and another one. Let's go. We're staying in the east, in the eastern part of the United States, Wilmington, Delaware. There was no medical negligence in a penile implant procedure that the patient said left him with an 8-month erection, a jury in Delaware ruled on Monday.
Newark truck driver Daniel Metzger lived with an erection for 8 months after what he claims was a botched surgical procedure by a Wilmington urologist. Metzger is suing Dr. Thomas J. Desperito in Newcastle County Superior Court for unspecified damages. Metzger testified in this week's trial that the 2009 penile implant malfunctioned, leading to the persistent erection and the swelling of his scrotum to the size of a volleyball.
Metzger's stepson and wife spent Wednesday morning testifying on the aftermath of the surgery. In one exchange between the lawyer and Donna Metzger, she explained seeing this thing for the very first time. I couldn't stop looking at it. It was just so big. His attorney said, "What was so big?" She said, "His testicles."
Metzger testified that he lost his insurance and could not afford the procedure to remove the prosthesis. He ended up getting it removed in 2010 after tubing from the inflatable device punctured his scrotum during a family trip. The trial is expected to wrap up on Friday. Friday Online, I'm Ashley Barnes.
Oh my gosh. Well, you just see the video of this poor guy. So he's obviously... he's suing the doctor, right?
Yeah.
Well, you've still got to appear in court, and all these cameras are focusing on you knowing what happened.
And you're nuts.
Just the look on his face was good. If you see that, you can look at that up online and find it for yourself. But it was quite a funny little story. We have a couple more things coming up, one of which I know Al is going to like because it has to do with the lovely thing about... all of the rights of songs and song lyrics and who gets royalties and who pays for it. Well... according to one lawsuit back east, apparently we might get something else added to public domain before too long. We'll find that out. And if so, we're going to play the hell out of it. Every week, we'll have Cunt of the Week and Birthday of the Week. Different song.
Different song.
Different song. Once again, it's the show with Clayton McKee. That's me. It's Q Talk America. I'm here in studio with Katie June and Al Perkins. It's a Tuesday night. Thank you for being with us. Join us in the chat room. Coming back in just a few minutes, we got a drinking game, some entertainment, a couple more headlines, sports. We're just going to keep talking until we can't anymore. We'll be back right after this.
No, we'll stop before that. We promise.
You think so?
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, my God. Turn things on, turn things off. So many goddamn buttons.
No one's to blame for that, but you.
No, but me. I'm the only one. Katie slipped herself into Studio A. She's making a beverage for herself. I'm sure it's...
can she hear us?
Oh, it's all she can hear.
Katie, give me a
glass. I should turn up your mic, Al. That helps.
Oh, okay.
Papa, can you hear me?
You only sing a few seconds of that.
Yeah, I don't think I have enough wine here to get me through all that's going to happen.
Well, there's vodka, though.
I know, so I told him, give me glass.
God, I didn't hear what you said. It is coming up, we're at the beginning of hour two. She wants to know if you need ice in there.
Oh, please. Yes.
There's, yeah. Good thing she can hear in Studio A.
I know. It's a delightful feature.
An enhancement, if you will. We are live in studio Q Talk America at the beginning of hour two. What we do each and every Tuesday night is we come to you live from 7 to 10, like it or not, take it or leave it. Listen to us live. Join us in the chat room. You can email us. We're too busy to take your calls, so... don't even bother.
Even down one host.
We are too busy.
Still can't do it.
Sorry.
I'm threatening to shove baseball bats up
people's asses.
Yeah, exactly. The Wall Street Journal reporter's ass.
Oh. No, wait. Was that the reporter or was it somebody he was reporting on?
It doesn't even matter.
Okay,
any of these fuckers, including almost vice rapist and priests, in chief. What was his name? Paul Ryan.
But yes. Ugh. There's that. All right. Well, we kick up hour two usually this way, and we'll make no exception this week. So here we go.
And now, a drink aloud. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Things Angie Dickinson would say.
Oh, yes.
What?
We're going to go $20,000 pyramid on this one, or $100,000 pyramid. Pick your pyramid amount or your host.
Okay.
I prefer it with Dick Clark, but I'll go with Donny Osmond because he had his charms.
Okay. I'm going to stay with Dick Clark. Yeah. And I'm going to go $100,000 pyramid.
I guess I'm not understanding what the... So any... What?
Things Angie Dickinson would say.
Okay.
Awesome. This is a good one.
Oh, no. Oh, you probably don't have enough wine.
I've been holding this one for weeks.
Well, in that case, we might as well get started. Well,
and since I was really in the mood to drink tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, and hey. I've already threatened violence against people on the East Coast.
I feel like I need to turn the air up.
You've used some illegal words on the show. Yeah, you're off to a good start.
Let's go down into southern.
Oh, the last time Marnie wasn't here and I used the word retard, remember we got the hate mail?
Oh.
So I'll stop.
Unnecessary.
I know, hate, at least it's attention.
Yeah, that's right.
Things Andrew Dickinson would say.
Oh, I thought it wouldn't play. Stick that straight up my ass. Things Andrew Dickinson would say.
A dirty woman. A judge has awarded nearly $7 million to a Southeast Texas couple who sued a self-described psychic over her bogus 2011 tip of mass graves on their land. The Houston Chronicle reported Wednesday that a judge, May 7th, ruled against Presley Rhonda Gridley. Why she has all these fucking names, I don't know. She failed to show up to respond to a defamation lawsuit filed by Joe Bankston and Gina Charlton of Liberty County. A judge ruled Gridley gave false information to the Liberty County law officers, claiming that dozens of bodies were buried in the backyard of these people's homes.
It's like poltergeist.
Nothing was found during the extensive search. No charges were filed against Gridley, who couldn't immediately be located for comment on Thursday. An attorney for the couple says that the next step will be pursuing whether the $6.8 million verdict will be collectible. So what happened was this psychic, which often a lot of times law enforcement works with psychics to find different things. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
And see the show Medium for references. Oh,
right.
I love
so
that show.
She apparently gave, I remember I saw this on the news and that's what made me think to look it up. So she actually had some sort of a vision that all of these souls came and talked to her and told her where they were buried and in the backyard of this house. So what happened is, you know, all of the law enforcement, you know, descend on this house, kick the family out, go through all this stuff. Well, now people are driving by, they're getting hate mail, they're getting all these things because people, okay, they didn't find anything.
Yeah.
A crazy psychic said it, so leave them the fuck alone. So they had to, I think they actually had to move, sell the house.
Oh, so this family did.
Right, they had to do all this stuff because this crazy psychic is the one who told them that there were dead people in her yard.
Good Lord.
Speaking of which, have we heard any updates on Hoffa? They were digging up, they found...
No, I've been so curious. Did they find something?
Well, no. Well, the concrete slabs, so far, they've got that. They know that there's concrete.
They did find the concrete was there.
Right, the concrete that was supposed to be over him. That's
yes,
what I heard earlier
right,
today.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're going to find out more about that, hopefully tomorrow.
That's interesting, because I had heard... I knew that they were digging in a field, and then I heard, well, he was buried under concrete. But my first thought was, well, if... Hello, then how's there a field? Of grass.
Well,
you know, I was just wondering, wouldn't you just walk out there naturally and see a big concrete slab?
Well, from what I understand, there was a barn many years ago.
Okay.
Then they buried him. I mean, it was in the barn or whatever, and then there was concrete poured over it.
I mean, this could be, like, incredibly cool.
Right.
It will be an amazing thing, and then you got to find out, like, who killed him.
Yes.
But you would think, if the guy who's, like, 84, 85 that's in prison that actually gave him this tip, who coincidentally has a book... I heard comes out next week. Yeah, that was funny. That was where that came from. But I'm gonna guess that he probably does. If he knows where he's physically buried, and this comes to be true, he's got to know how he got there.
What happened?
Yeah. So that,
well, it was interesting. One of the news channels today was saying it will bring some peace and closure to the Hoffa family. And I'm like, the Hoffa family. What?
Yeah, the Lindbergh family is out there hopeful too. Yeah. So we're gonna...
it could all happen.
Let's go back down to our lovely little. Florida, so many things. And you know, oftentimes when you're in a Circle K or a Quick Trip or you're out somewhere and you meet somebody, the first thing you want to do, you immediately want to go on a date with them. Don't you? Don't you see somebody and it's love at first sight?
Generally. Yeah.
Well, a North Florida man says he needs surgery now on his right eye after he was beaten and robbed during his first date with a woman that he met at a convenience store. A Flagler County Sheriff's report says 34-year-old Sean Williams met a woman that he knew only as Tree. 2 weeks ago. Tree is her nickname.
Sounds like a
the couple met at a store on Friday, and she followed him to Williams' home nearby. Williams told the Daytona Beach News Journal that the woman told him that she needed to drop her brother and his friend off at their house before going to dinner with him. Instead, deputies say the man assaulted Williams, took his clothes, possessions, left him beside the road. I don't know if to die or what, but he flagged down a truck driver who called 911. Williams was treated at a hospital, and deputies are investigating. Oh, yeah. That's why you've got to filter people out.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the
some
first,
vetting.
That's why I stay off city
first
buses.
Filters is met at a convenience store, and right there, I'm probably checking out. Like right. That's probably a really easy place for me to start.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
Met at the Circle K.
Thanks, Angie. I had to get one in.
Awesome. Well played, sir or
thank
ma'am.
You. Well, this is the one that I know Al's going to want to chime in on, because we've had this discussion before on this very show. And in fact, I think it was before Katie actually joined us. So it's been a while. But I know Al, and this will be a perfect segue into the entertainment segment. This is, according to the Associated Press in New York, a production company making a documentary about the song Happy Birthday to You is challenging the copyright to the famous jingle. Good Morning to You Productions Corporation, which is working on a film tentatively titled Happy Birthday, argues in a lawsuit filed Thursday that the song should be a, quote, dedicated to public use and in the public domain. The company is seeking monetary damages and restitution of more than $5 million in licensing fees collected by Warner Chapel Music Incorporated from thousands of people and groups who've paid its licensing fees over the years. There's more to the story, but I do know Al like made a comment. In fact, just a couple weeks ago, you made the comment that on any show, like didn't Whoopi Goldberg stop them on The View from even singing?
Yeah, she was like, "No, I don't want to pay for that."
Yeah, so happy birthday, you're done.
I noticed actually after we had talked about it on the Today Show, they have their own little happy birthday jingle.
Yes,
that's totally different.
The tune you just sang is Stevie Wonder's "Happy Birthday to Martin Luther King." Happy birthday.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that. Like,
that's Stevie Wonder.
Okay. And my guess is
your singing voice is lovely, by the way, because I knew where you were right away.
So.
No, but that's why like Fridays won't do it. Like all those restaurants make up their happy birthday song.
Oh my God, that's why they sing.
That's why they steer clear of it, because it's a company policy, and if they use happy birthday, they'll have to pay. Smaller restaurants will do it, but if you're in like a chain where they know that the lawsuit can get some money,
happy birthday to you, like just the hideous.
Right. And I just want to make it clear, legal or not legal, if you ever sing happy birthday to me in public,
oh fuck you,
just plan your funeral midway through the song.
Absolutely.
Can I tell you?
By the time you get to dear, you should be dead.
We did it at a Kirsten's birthday party. So we had her birthday party as like a fundraiser event last year, and one of the donors came up to me and said, we're all going to sing her happy birthday. So get her over on this wall. And I'm already in my head, I'm going, this is going to be so bad for me. For me, actually, specifically because I'm the worker. And so I go, come over here. And I whisper in her ear and I'm like, they're about to sing you happy birthday. And she's like, no, they fucking. And then they sing happy birthday. And she turns and she's like, this is so fun. And I heard it afterward. She's the same age. She's like, I hate it. Not put me on stage.
First off, no one sounds
me.
Good singing it. It's embarrassing for everybody.
I harmonize. I would
venture to guess that based on how these people are, which I'm going to read more of the story in a minute, if, let's say, for Kirsten Sinema, a public figure, 9 times out of 10, somebody's holding a camera and videotaping that, then it goes viral. Then they come back and they want to charge Kirsten's campaign for copyright.
They'll find. Now, the thing that they were saying, and the reason that some people. Things Bernadette Peters would say.
that was good.
That's so great. This is a fun game.
It's a fun game. Anyways, but some of the people were saying that they don't want this lawsuit to continue because Warner Chappell, who owns, I mean, their catalog is extensive.
Is that have anything to do with Warner Brothers?
Of course it does.
Okay.
And they bought over Chappell, and I can't remember if Chappell was like Chrysalis Records. Chappell was a big
Sounds Christian-y.
No, it's not. It's spelled different. It's like Chappelle or something like that.
It's C-H-R-Y-S-A-L-I-S or something like that. Chrysalis.
No, but Chrysalis, but you meant Chappell sounds religious.
Oh, no. I think it's just somebody's name.
But Chrysalis Records, I want to say, was under Chappell for a long time before they got bought. What they're worried about is they'll be like, okay, you can have Happy Birthday for free. But let's say for your movie and titles, or like for your trailer, like remember the Brooklyn Girls Go Hard or whatever song you said?
Oh, yeah.
Like there was some song that you liked in a trailer.
I loved it. So in what 42. Gonna, what it was a MIA song.
So what they're going to say is, okay, Happy Birthday's free, but it's going to cost you $1 million now for that song. So like they'll just tack on the price
somewhere
else.
They're going to make their money somewhere.
Right. So that's what they're saying. Like,
so just leave it as is.
So movies are saying we're happy with the $15,000 to $20,000. That's the fee. We're good with that. Just don't fuck with them. Like let them have their $15,000 to $20,000 appropriate. Just don't charge us $1 billion for every other song and like nickel and dime us somewhere else.
This could be taking it too far. I don't know.
Was that the end of the article?
No, there's more.
Okay.
If I sang Happy Birthday to you, let's say, and I didn't die.
What they'll do is the lawyer will find
public.
Out if any of us have money.
In public.
If we don't, then they won't do it.
Well, okay. So if we're out to dinner and we're going, oh, Happy Birthday, and we start singing the song and then we post it on Facebook. And so the song is visible.
They'll sue Facebook. They go to whoever has money in the story.
Oh my God, that's
Facebook
insane.
Facebook has to take it down. And that's why, like, here on the show, when you put it on YouTube.
Oh, we have to take that stuff down.
Every time you sing too much of a song, it flags.
Right, because they have, everything's got like a blue fingerprint.
How does that flag, actually? Because I was thinking about it in the shower the other day when I was singing something.
You know how on your app on your phone you have SoundHound or Shazam?
Shazam's amazing.
And you hold it up and it tells you what the song is noticed? Because everything has a digital fingerprint now. Everything. So it listens and it matches up the fingerprint with it, and boom, you know it's Aretha Franklin Respect or whatever it is. So what happens is, as we upload all of our shows to YouTube, it scrubs everything.
Oh my God, that's
and
amazing.
I think that the threshold, I think, is something like 8 seconds. So if we're like 5 seconds or under, it lets it go. But if we're doing 8 or more seconds
of any
song.
I can't remember what the time limit
is.
Crazy.
And they just wait till it hits something with money. What they do is they wait. Like, they know the three of us don't have enough to, like, hire the lawyer or pay you can't get blood out
you're
of a rock.
You're getting zero.
But they're going to wait till when it hits YouTube. Now YouTube has money. When it hits Facebook, Facebook has money.
Right.
So they don't want to get hit with this. So they'll stop you. And that's one of the reasons why they insist on those privacy things.
Yeah.
And you have to put, like, I don't own this underneath your what you publish
or what you put on there.
Yeah. Once YouTube agrees to it and it's on YouTube, it's fair game for you to do whatever you want with it.
That's
on YouTube.
Really? It's interesting. I didn't realize how they I know we've said that before on the show. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Because a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago, you brought in, it was a song and we played some song that you had me play or somebody had me play some song.
Yeah, I can't
and
remember.
And we went on much longer and Joe actually emailed me because it flagged it and he had to just cut that segment out of the whole show.
Yeah.
Just so it would upload the rest of it.
And I it was one of those things that I kind of knew, but when whoever died first from the Jeffersons, when she died and Star Jones campaigned on The View to have the Jeffersons theme played and they were like, it's coming right out of your pay. Like, you go right ahead, but ABC's not paying for it. No, and they went down the line and said who wasn't paying for it.
And the funny, I remember.
And Sarah Jones, that was her tribute to Wheezy, was like, well, that song's worth a lot of money.
Yeah,
to
right,
someone.
Exactly.
Well, the day Sherman Hemsley died, we, over the course of the week, we came in and we were in our other studios, and I literally had it queued up. I had the Jefferson's theme queued up, and I remember I started it, and it went boom, a web, a move, and he's like, stop, everything. He freaked out.
Yeah.
He literally freaked out.
That's crazy.
That's why, that's why. So,
But I paid attention, like I said, when I was watching a morning TV, and they played
a different
song.
And if Disney's got its fingers on it, it was in public domain 2 weeks ago.
I know.
The minute Disney puts us, Disney hasn't paid money for anything in centuries.
Yeah.
The minute Disney touches something, you know it fell into public domain.
But they don't pay for it, but Dare play one of their songs?
Oh, yeah.
You are fucked.
But then they copyright that shit. So now their lawyers are fighting because public domain now falls into the hands of Disney. Because he's dead. So anything that he originally copyrighted, you could put their characters on stuff. And Disney was like, oh, no, we're going to change the public domain law. Like, excuse me, we're sorry.
I'm sorry. We're Disney. We're going to go ahead and change this.
We've pillaged every treasure chest in the country, but we're going to take that back. So they're always, if you ever want, like, corporations gone completely insane and wrong, always study
Disney.
Hashtag Disney.
Going back to the story, Warner Chappell, which is based in Los Angeles, claims exclusive copyright to the Happy Birthday to You song, which Guinness World Records has called the most famous song in the English language. The company whose artists include, these are the people who are under the umbrella of Warner Chappell: Aretha Franklin, Barry Gibb, Rob Zombie, Madonna, wow. Michael Jackson.
Oh my God. Jesus.
They didn't immediately respond for comment as of last Thursday, but Good Morning to You Productions argues that evidence dating, Good Morning to You Productions is the one making the documentary about the song Happy Birthday, by the way, that evidence dating to 1893 helped show the song's copyright expired about 1921, according to them. It says four previous copyrights to the melody of a similar sounding song called Good Morning to All, filed in 1893, 1896, 1899, and 1907, have all expired or have been forfeited. The class action lawsuit says that Warner Chappell claims the exclusive copyright to the song based on piano arrangements published in 1935, but that the copyright applies only to the piano arrangement and not to the melody or lyrics.
Yeah, so, I mean, kind of, it's just fun how that, I saw that article and I was like, that is fascinating that somebody's finally doing something. It's, you know.
I'll be very curious, because obviously, the second that is, it's done, it's rolled on, and if it becomes public domain, you can play it any fucking where you want.
Let's do it immediately.
Yeah, we'll have a happy birthday celebration.
But now you got to see who, and like they said, you're going to see who's going to fight it, because Warner Chappell, right. I mean, look who they own. How many movies is there just a song in there?
Oh my God.
And that's how.
Well, Madonna and Michael Jackson, done and done.
When Donna Summer found out about how much selling her songs made in movies, she got a lawyer and she started selling her songs to movies. So the full Monty plays all of Hot Stuff and she made $1 million.
Oh, that's so
she
great.
Started licensing out her songs.
All we need
for
is
samples.
Like one.
She never had
hit
to work.
Song.
She went 17 years without an album because she's like, I'm making millions of dollars a year
it's
just
unlicensing.
Selling the same shit over and
it's
over
amazing.
And over again.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I need one hit song, just like one that someone likes.
And you can
like
Pride for the rest of your life.
Yes.
Things Angie Dickinson would
do. Yeah, so, and that's why if you're a lyricist and a songwriter, all you got to do is write something.
And don't sing the song. Write the fucking song.
Damn it,
song.
I want to
write,
like, write something.
Like, and I said, the only thing I know from the retard at the Anne Frank house, what's his name, Bieber.
Bieber.
Is baby, baby, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, who wrote that shit? And he's making up
$1 billion. Now, I'm sorry, and if I missed this, forgive me. Do we know who wrote Happy Birthday to You? Did it say that in there? I missed that. Like, who actually, because I feel like I could maybe write a new version of Happy Birthday and then start selling it for cheaper.
Well, according to them, that the evidence dated back to 1893.
Oh, okay. Yes, you did say that.
But I don't know, and it does not say in here who they think wrote it, but the first copyright that they had for it was back then, and they said it expired about 1921.
That's insane.
Yeah. But, yeah, interesting.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's catchy.
Yeah, catchy, yeah. Catchy tune.
Things that I'm just going to say. Yeah.
Catchy. You're a catch. Well, I'm catchy.
some have said.
Well, I think we've oh my God, over. What the hell is this thing you're doing here? Oh, well, I think at this time we should probably go into our entertainment segment because, gosh, Al's got a list of shit to do, doesn't he?
Al, yeah, give me a second so I can finish this sentence.
I have to go to the bathroom and make another cocktail.
Oh, I'm going to get, well, let's go ahead. It's very busy.
All right.
Cage ready. You, tell me when you're ready.
Hit it.
Oh. Whoa, what the hell is that?
I don't know, but we'll call it the entertainment
song.
No, it's not.
No, we can't do that. I have to do this correctly. Where the fuck happened to my thing? See, Joe threw some new stuff at me and it threw me all off because now I have to find stuff again.
But Joe, everything you've done has been wonderful so far. Entertainment! Not a lot going on. Turn that down.
I think that Dick would say.
Yeah, exactly. Turn that vibrator down. Man of Steel sets a June record for a mediocre movie, which is kind of amazing. We find out who Tracy Letts really is in his real age. New documentary coming out called 20 Feet from Stardom.
Oh, I want to see this.
Opens. This is the End opened. And we're Countdown to Dexter.
Ha-ha! With Al Perkins.
Yes.
All right. So let's look at the numbers. Man of Steel opened this weekend, and I saw it.
It was one of the nine?
Yes.
Movies you saw?
And unfortunately, and please, if you haven't seen it yet, let me give you a little piece of advice. First off, it's not in IMAX.
Right,
it's not filmed. It's not filmed in IMAX. It's not filmed in 70 millimeter. There is absolutely nothing special about the filming of this movie. Save the surcharge. Do not go see this in IMAX. It was a waste of time.
Okay.
They never expanded the full six stories. Waste
so
of time.
So why would they even permit you to see it, quote, in IMAX if it's not?
It is a bigger screen. It is a bigger screen. But they have to fill it lengthwise. But it stays in widescreen. So you still have, you go to the IMAX and you see two big bars
stripes.
At the top
right,
of the bottom.
Okay.
The top and the bottom.
Got it.
So that was completely not worth the money.
Okay.
Then it's not really filmed in 3D. It's and there you have to really check in your movies to make sure if they're actual 3D or if it's post 3D,
where like they post is not as good.
No, post
right?
sucks. There's no point to it. They did it with Jurassic Park. They did it with Titanic. All these old movies that they're doing, like The Wizard of Oz is coming out.
Oh, heard that.
This month, and they're doing this post-production 3D with the great print that we've seen.
Okay.
So it'd be worth it to go see it in the movies again. Just don't bother. Post-production is just not worth it. But on a side note, well, same note.
Same song. Same song.
Henry Cavill, and it rhymes with travel. I found that out this week, and he was called Fat Cavill as a kid. Okay, those of
people
us
love him. That's
those
what I
of
hear.
Us that watched The Tudors and have loved him since his first shot in my face. Things that you didn't say on The Tudors. This man is hot beyond reason. So. $8, $9, $12 to watch him run around shirtless with a beard and push things. Ooh, yes.
Okay.
Sure. I'm in. Maybe not for lesbians.
I was going to say, cut to Kelly and her mom, who love every stupid movie that's ever been written and produced for screen. And they're not big fans.
No. I said it about Iron Man 2. I said it about Star Trek, we do not need a 40-minute fist fight between two people that cannot get hurt. And
yes.
Then Superman's all concerned about, don't kill those three people with your laser eyes. But you just destroyed 16 skyscrapers during a fist fight.
Yeah.
And it was
there
a work day.
There was a lot of people in them.
There's
yeah,
a lot of people
right,
in them. And
yeah.
we've seen how...
That. How that cookie crumbles.
Skyscrapers falling yeah. tends to hurt people
yeah,
here and there. And then it's another one of those movies where, like, no one cares. Like, then, oh, well,
Kelly,
half of Gotham City or whatever it's called.
Kelly said the
Metropolis.
Story was very bad. There was really no point to the story. I have also heard...
They did do a little bit with Captain Zod.
She just...
It's mostly origin, though. It really
yes.
is. It's all set up for the number two.
She said it was cool. Like, there were some cool special effects, although her mom... said, you know, what she appreciated about the old Superman was that you really, like, watched him fly through the air and, you know, faster than a speeding bullet, but not actually. You could actually, like, witness that. And that it was too fat. Like,
yeah.
I mean, they were picking it apart because, you know, they didn't have a horrible time. They went to the movies and they enjoyed their night. But
you have the kind of time during that fist fight to start picking it apart.
Yeah.
That fist fight goes on for so
long. Even the Today Show, which doesn't really bag
anything right.
said it was 20 minutes, 25 minutes too long.
And it's all that fist fight. The origin story was good.
I would just walk out.
Special effects. But it was.
Or take a nap.
It depends, though, because Henry Cavill, I am not kidding you, is almost a god, which is the part two to the story. He is. And he was breathtaking on The Tudors.
Isn't he the one you said was passed over for a number
everything.
Of other movies? So this is exciting for him.
He's the most
and
unlucky
it's
man.
And it's raised a gajillion dollars.
Yeah. And it made $128.6 million. Over the weekend, it already made $200 million worldwide.
Do you know how much they spent on it?
$225 million was the
okay.
budget. So we've already made our money back in 4 days. This movie is going to play all summer. The good things about it, again, he's hot. Russell Crowe's very good.
I heard he was good.
It wasn't the whole Marlon Brando's in 3 minutes and then goes away. Russell Crowe comes back through the movie. There's little nods. But the thing to watch in this movie is Amy Adams has earned all four Oscar nominations because she's the star of this movie.
Really?
This movie is about Lois Lane. That's the other thing that I think disappointed a lot of people is like Lois Lane's not like the girl that follows along and can't figure out who he is. Like, ugh.
Things that you take with
right, she's gargling cum.
I got that. Yeah, no, that's actually immediately what I thought.
Things Perez Hilton would say.
But, I mean, her part was extremely well written for a female role in a superhero movie. It was
that's good.
Really,
I love
really
Amy
well
Adams.
Done. And she earned every dollar they paid her for this movie.
Good.
Hands down, the best part of the movie was Amy Adams. And I'm like, okay, she's so good. She makes the girl an actual part. And it was very well done on that thing. Now, this is the funny part. The Warner Brothers, Warner Chapel, our friends at Warner Brothers. Here's what they're doing. God bless them. They're sending out sermon points to churches.
Oh my God.
They're offering free showings of Superman and offering sermon points as to why Superman is like Christ.
Yes.
Because he was sent down by his father to do good deeds on the earth and to like all this stuff.
Yep.
Fucked.
Horrible.
Up.
Hideous.
Yeah. You thought I was going to hell? I'm second.
Money making. Yes. Because you know that like those mega church Christians are going to fucking eat this.
Right.
I saw an interview today on CNN.
It's just horrible to find out that I am second in line for the hell bus. Like I like got bumped right off.
You were like ready to pick your favorite seat.
And the Warner Brothers
was going to be in the back,
by
the way.
They have a suite.
Shit.
I'm sitting back with the fucking peasants.
That is something. That's really something.
You can probably find it most anywhere, but I did see an interview on CNN today where they're interviewing a pastor about that, and he's literally like, as long as they're talking about Christ and we're getting the word out, that's all that matters.
Yeah, and they're, I mean, and they're
Jesus, really?
Yeah,
oh, sorry.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Things, things Clayton McKee would say.
Oh, yes.
So I have to tell you, and then on a side note, if you have the time, and clearly if you spent 3 hours listening to this, you get some free time on your hands.
More than a little. More than a little.
Graham Norton, who is one of the most delightful people, and he has my fucking job, so I'm kind of pissed off at him because he's living my dream life. He has the funniest show on the BBC where they drink. They kind of do what we do. The guests tell if we had guests or if we let other people play with us.
Yeah, we have time.
But they give their drink orders in advance. Well, he has Henry Cavill, hottest man alive. I cannot stress this enough. If you ever want something to masturbate to, this guy is unfucking real. Russell Crowe and Amy Adams were on the couch with him. It's 40 minutes, and it is a fun interview with all three of them. And I don't know if Russell Crowe's on some new mission to rehabilitate his image. He is a charmer on this. Has fun with the gay back and forth. So any of the like the kind of homophobic past things, which he really doesn't have.
But he's had some, like, hasn't he been, like, abusive a little bit?
Yeah,
verbally abusive.
He steals the interview from everybody, and he's, and not that he's ever been homophobic, but, and he's, his first movie was The Sum of Us.
But he's just, like, a little bit of a dick.
And he's got that
things
image.
I didn't change someone said.
Yep. Little, I need a bigger dick. she would say that in Spanish, though.
Of course, yeah.
So, and I don't know, like, I've had this problem with Russell Crowe for like 10 years that instantly went away during this interview.
And, oh,
I mean,
that's
he's
good.
Drinking whatever this drink was. He's telling funny stories. He talks about being in the gay movie and sharing his first kiss with a man. And instantly everything shitty I ever thought about Russell Crowe went out the door. And it's a fun interview with
but
all of them.
I've heard him have bad press. Of course, we all have. Yeah. And so I was also.
We've all had bad press?
Well,
yeah,
heard
yeah.
him.
Oh, I
heard that he's had bad press. Certainly, I've never.
Yeah, exactly.
Never.
No. But I don't hate him, right? So I was like happy to hear. To be totally honest, didn't even know that he was in the movie until I started hearing people say that he was good in it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's like one of those guys that I went, well, I'm good. Yay for him. Glad he's like doing well. And
but just watch the Graham Norton show because that really was a delight. And then in other movie news this weekend, the number two movie of the week was This Is the End.
Oh, man,
and
can't wait.
I would absolutely skip
Superman.
I'm gonna
smoke some weed.
I would.
Yeah.
I would definitely skip Man of Steel and watch that at home in the privacy with some lotion and a hand towel.
Oh,
things Angie Dickinson would spill on a brownie. and go see This Is the End. This movie is, I don't know, 102 minutes of sheer delight.
I cannot wait.
And just when you think, all right, the joke's over, we can't play it any further, they either introduce a new character or a new situation, and the jokes just keep fucking flying.
So,
this movie is just plain and simple funny.
And this is the one. Do you know about this movie?
I heard the name somewhere, but I don't know what it's about.
So this is...
Is it about the end?
Well, a little bit.
Okay.
How'd you guess? And they have all of these famous actors, which they're not like the uber big famous stars. They're like the James Francos and the curly-headed guy who plays that dope in a bunch of stuff. What's that guy's name? Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the black guy from The Office who's hysterically funny.
Yeah, and I can't... Craig Robinson.
And they... So, like, a bunch of those kind of actors.
But it's... Everybody shows up at the party. It's James Franco. Michael Cera that plays George Michael on Arrested Development is hysterical.
I literally cannot wait for this movie.
Emma Thompson from the Harry Potter movies.
Like, essentially, they all show up at this party, and then they discover, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's the end of the world.
The apocalypse, the rapture happens. Okay. I don't know if that's a spoiler alert that it's the rapture.
I don't think so, because that's in all of the trailers. Okay. Like, I knew that. I haven't seen the movie, and I've known that just from watching the...
And it's just how they, as stars...
As themselves, they're playing themselves. Like, amplified versions of them.
How they deal with, like, the end of the world, and they're stuck in this house with no supplies, and then Danny McBride comes in.
Just when you think it really starts to hit a wall
on the humor, like, all right, we're done. And then Danny McBride comes in out of nowhere and just fucking steals this movie for everybody. And
I am excited.
Oh, my God.
Isn't the guy from Super Troopers, one of the Super Trooper guys in this? McLovin? No.
No, not him. His name is Jay, and the joke of the movie is that nobody knows his name, and I don't know his name.
But I know who he is.
Or something like that.
Okay.
Oh, my God. And I was laughing my ass off, but I have to tell you that for one of the few times in movie history, the guy behind me was annoying me because he was laughing too much. Because
yeah, awesome.
I was missing jokes. It was the funniest thing he'd ever seen in his life.
He was probably stoned.
Yeah, I was hoping, because I'm like...
Also, it's great to see that movie.
That's what I've heard, is that go high. I mean, smoke a bowl if you want.
If you want to, maybe one cocktail, not too much, you don't want to
exactly,
fall asleep.
Right. But I heard it was really funny.
Things
I'm super
Keith
excited.
Richards would say?
Yeah.
Things Katie June might say, like, next weekend. Because that's happening. I also heard, though... Okay, what sucks... Fucking John Jay and Rich. I never listened to them anymore. I thought they were cool for like a second. I happened to turn them on iHeartRadio, and some dumb bitch listener called in and gave away that whole like twist at the end, like the big surprise. There's like a... I can't say it.
I was laughing
too hard. Ever seen
yeah, I really was. Like,
at the end, there's like a surprise character that comes in that you're like, oh my God, I can't believe he's in this.
Well, that's kind of giving it away, so don't do that.
Oh, I don't know.
But you don't know who it is, though. And the whole thing is like it's a twist surprise of like who it is.
And I wasn't
Angie Dickinson.
Yeah, it wasn't my favorite part of the movie, so I already forgot who it
okay,
was.
Okay, well, I'll have to. Okay. I don't want to ruin it for anyone else, but some lady on John Jay and Rich ruined it for
me. We'll talk during the break.
But it really isn't the crux of the movie. When they're sitting around trying to figure out why, since they're movie stars and they're such good people, that they didn't get taken up in the rapture. Like, that is hysterical.
I'm excited.
And the fact that James Franco I love it. Like, Ben Affleck on Saturday Night Live always like just goes with the gay rumors, never tries to fight it, never over butches it, just plays up to it. Like, if you think I'm gay,
James Franco is half gay though, right?
No,
half gay, what letter do we have to give him?
No,
he's bisexual.
Isn't he? No, he doesn't
like do guys, or he has not ever said he's curious about doing guys. Maybe that's Stacey J. Cavalier fantasy.
He's made a lot of movies where he plays gay characters. Yeah,
because I definitely thought that James Franco was like potentially gay.
Well, that's the running joke, because he keeps making these movies about being gay.
Sure, yeah.
And then he decided to make this awful but filthy,
really gay
masturbation
movie.
Yeah, where the movie Cruising with Al Pacino, which was this violent, and it was considered very homophobic at the time. This Al Pacino movie called Cruisin', and it was really...
We're gonna fly away. And scene.
And fisting.
Not the same movie,
oh, no,
but I love that
no,
song.
No, not the same movie. Like, this movie was as
the
graphic...
The Gwyneth Paltrow-Huey Lewis joint.
Oh, Jesus, no.
I know, but I like that song.
You love it when we're cruising
together.
I liked
together.
It until they sang it. Oh,
that's one of my karaoke go-tos.
I know. They killed a smoke... Well, just pretend it's by Smokey Robinson.
Yeah,
and we'll both get along.
And I generally do, yeah.
So this movie... So he made this movie, which he does Cruisin', but he does it from behind the scenes. So what he shows you is what was too graphic and had to be edited out.
Boy.
So like all the things that they're like, well, cut now because nobody can see that. Oh, that's what he made the movie about.
Oh, wow.
I can't think of what it's called, but I mean, all and he's
okay,
just so
weird.
Okay,
I thought he was like bisexual for sure, had done
no,
gay.
No,
like
he always says, he's like, I'm okay with it. I have no problem with it. I'm fascinated by sexuality, but I'm not interested. But
Got
the
it.
Funny thing is, so they but they play on that everybody thinks he's gay.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Danny McBride shows up and he's like, all right, Franco's not sucking a dick and you're not stoned. It must be the apocalypse.
Oh, I'm excited about it.
It really was very, very funny.
I've heard it's really fun.
So that made a surprising amount of money. It was like the Purge of this weekend, where like the movie that they thought, well, maybe it'll make a little bit of money. Because
yes.
The big hope was on The Internship with Vince Vaughn.
Kelly saw that.
Because
said it was horrible.
Yeah, we talked about it last week.
Okay.
But that was the movie that tested so well with test audiences. Like they were, they thought it was going to just blow everybody
out of
the water.
People love Vince Vaughn, including me. I love Vince Vaughn, but
right. But if you're only getting, if the test audience loves it, that sees it for free, but the people paying don't like it, you're not really doing the right thing. Okay, so there was that. World War Z opens this weekend. We got to get our zombie
can
in.
Literally not wait. Do you want to go together?
Yes, Sunday.
Oh my God, me too. You want
to
go this
Sunday? Invite a friend. Yeah,
motherfucker, I'm leaving town. It opens on Sunday.
No, it opens Friday.
But let's go on a different day.
I'll go on Saturday.
Okay. Yes. I love
you
dates.
Saturday. All right.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
So I talked about that.
Because that's like a movie I'm going to want to see that Kelly is not going to give a shit about.
I have an extra, extra special treat for later. So everyone has to go to Amazon.com and get the reviews for Veet for Men, because I'll be doing a dramatic reading from that later.
Okay.
Now,
things that Jacob would say.
Yeah. So Tracy Letts. Last week, he won a Tony as Best Actor in a Play for Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. Mm-hmm. And as we were sitting there, all blank stared like, Tracy Letts. And Buddy Early, Idiot Savant. See how I changed my R word to something more for hour two?
Thank you.
He was like, Tracy Letts is a writer. He wrote August Osage County, or Osage County, which is the Oscar bait opening this summer with Julia Roberts and Meryl Streep, mm-hmm. which I'm about to stroke myself. Things Angie Dickinson would say. Underneath the table.
Jesus.
Things she would say underneath the table. That's even better. He wrote that, and he wrote this movie called Killer Joe from our Buy One Matthew McConaughey movie, Get One Free.
Good.
Another movie from
Mud
last...
and Killer Joe?
No, I'm on like seven now. He's okay. In Bernie. He's in Lincoln Lawyer. I mean, he's made like 18
yeah.
movies
so
in the
many.
Last couple of months, or last couple of years. So I had Killer Joe sing at home because Buddy yelled out he wrote Killer Joe. And I'm like, really? So I saw this movie. Well, first off, Tracy Letts, who I described last week, is some 60-year-old who decided to start acting because he's playing George of George and Martha and Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Right.
So I'm thinking, well, that's got to be an older person to play a haggard, drunken. He's 40 fucking eight. He's 2 years older than me, people.
Uh-oh.
So I'm like, I'm old enough to play George in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? I'm going to need therapy. Things that you think it's okay. I almost shit my pants when I found out that I am nearly old enough to play George.
Yeah, so convenient.
Exactly. I just shit my pants. So anyways, Killer Joe, it's out on video. I don't know if I can recommend this movie. If you want something filthy, dirty, obscenely violent, funny in the worst possible ways, like if you found shoving a baseball bat up someone's ass to teach them what rape feels like funny, this might be your movie.
Tyler's still funny.
I found it important, but I don't know that I'd watch it on television or in the movies.
And I don't know, like I just kept like, what? And then the ending is so almost Quentin Tarantino, uber violent, but it's Gina Gershon.
Love her.
Everyone's lesbian wet dream.
Tim actually gave me that video.
Bound. Yes.
I still have it, actually. I have his copy. Tim, if you want it back, let me know.
I think it's you get it with the first time you chew an Afghan. Things that you think it's the day. Oh, you're a lesbian? Have you seen Bound?
So anyways, that's literally what Tim did.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Tim.
We got new carpet.
Yeah. She's amazing in it. It's Emil Hirsch from, what's the movie where he gets lost in Alaska that I love so much?
No, I know who he is. I know who you're talking about, though.
Oh.
He's a youngie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Hold
Tyler,
please.
You have to help me with the movie.
I'm going
to
Google this. Is Tyler on board?
Yeah.
No?
Yep.
Hi,
he's
Tyler.
He's in here.
Hold on.
Emil Hirsch.
Oh, what is the name of that movie? No.
Oh my God, he's so cute.
He is so cute. He's the real star of it. Matthew McConaughey plays Killer Joe.
Oh, he's like real cute.
And Michael Hayden, the guy from Wings, who's had an amazing movie career over the last decade.
When was Emil Hirsch's movie Into the Wild?
Into the Wild. If you have not seen, that's what I would recommend to
anybody. Lords of Dogtown. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I know
love
that's
that movie.
Mini, but it's sexy.
When you
say Wings, do you mean the comedy series?
Yes.
Was that formed in Nantucket?
Stephen Weber.
He was the dumb janitor.
Wait, Nantucket also.
Oh, I know you're talking. Wow, really?
Thomas Hayden Church. That's his name. So Thomas Hayden Church is his. Hysterical. I mean, this movie, I used to
love that show.
I almost can't recommend it because the laughs are at like all the worst expenses. Like,
I recognize him.
Right. Yeah, yeah, totally.
I mean, the cast was fantastic.
It was Stephen Weber and Crystal Bernard and him and a couple of the cranky old gal who did the ticket counter.
Tyne Daly's brother. Yeah.
Right. Tim Daly.
Tim Daly.
Yeah. Got it.
I don't know. So I watched this Killer Joe. I still don't know how I feel about it. Like, I would have to watch it again. I mean, I was laughing and kind of throwing up at the same time. It was so completely wrong.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know. Somebody might watch it. And then there's a new documentary out, and if it's called 20 Feet from Stardom.
That's what
I don't
see.
Really know that much about it, but it's all about backup singers, is right. what I'm getting from everything that's going on. I think it opened in LA this past weekend. Harrison was kind enough to send me the CD for it today.
Oh.
There's a woman on there named Mary Clayton. She spells her name like Merry Christmas. She does a
she's been singing forever.
Oh my God. She does a cover of Gimme Shelter that will knock your fucking socks off. I got home at 4 o'clock and got the mail. I listened to it for an hour and 40 minutes straight. Like, I now know all the words to
Give
Me Shelter.
I'm going to have to borrow that from you.
Yes, I will share it with you.
It looks...
I would say that Mary Clayton, I watched, it was on CBS Sunday Morning this past Sunday. They did a segment on it, and they showed the trailer from the movie and something about it, but they were interviewing Mary Clayton. Mary Clayton was one of the stories that she tells, and it's in the story, it's in the movie. She was dead asleep, 2 a.m., she gets a phone call. They wanted her to come sing on a track. They just wanted her to sing, and they gave her the little lyrics. I forget what it is. Something. It's a Rolling Stone song. So she shows up at 2 a.m., like in slippers, hair undone.
Yeah.
Walks into a studio. Mick Jagger and Keith Richards are on either side of her, and they're like, they wrote it down. Here, sing this. So she sings it, and she's like, got it, good, good night, done. She walks out thinking, who the fuck are these people? She has
Stop
no
it.
Idea who they
she
are.
She didn't know who they were.
No.
And now, based on that story, all I can hope is that it's Sympathy for the Devil. The woo, woo.
Bingo, that's it. That's the one.
Oh, my
something,
God.
Is this something about rape? There's a rape is in that.
Yeah,
things that I think would say. There's rape in it, and something. There's some other line. She's like, you want me to say this? Really?
Oh, no. I mean, if it's Sympathy for the Devil, all the backup singers is, you know.
Hold on, I'm going to Google
Did
it.
Did you know my name?
No, woo-woo. No, it's something like, to do with rape and violence and okay. something. It was the lyric. And she's like, you want me to sing this?
Mary Clayton.
So and then she finds out that, oh my God, I sang backup on this song, and it becomes like a huge
Oh, that she
thing.
Literally had no idea.
No, she knew who they were. She didn't know anything about
Gimme
it.
Gimme Shelter? Mick and Mary Clayton, Gimme Shelter.
It might be, but she does a cover of Gimme Shelter on there that's absolutely fantastic.
It's and very it cool. She sings for everybody eventually in her career.
Yeah, the it hasn't made it on the cloud yet, so it's not in my iPad. But
we couldn't play it anyway.
No, but I want to give you the name to the other song was absolutely, and it's her and four other gospel singers, and it's like it's not my fault or I'm not to blame or something like that.
No idea.
Oh my God! I mean, this.
I am looking forward to seeing.
There's all kinds of really good songs in that, but this Mary Clayton was just a revelation on there.
And one of the people.
It was
kind of
like when we saw. Rain on Me, Rain Down on Me, Rain on Me.
Oh, with Betty LeVette.
Betty LeVette. The first time I saw Betty LeVette, and I was just transfixed.
Oh, I was too. Though when we saw that on the Kennedy Center Honors, the one of the girls in the movie was from The Voice.
They said that's her best known classic, Gimme Shelter, and then also she was on the London Symphony Orchestra's recording of Tommy.
Okay.
Which is cool. But yeah, The Voice.
So the girl
I had
was on The Voice.
Looked this up.
Right. So
Judith Hill. She's
bingo.
The younger black girl with the afro. Real cute.
Right.
Now, I have not been watching
really
The Voice.
She's got a really good song on the soundtrack.
Yes.
Really,
is
really
she
good song.
Still on The Voice? I haven't been watching
it. I have no idea.
I actually really, really like the super Jewish Michelle Shamuel, but that's like just
but
a side note.
The kicker with her was she was in rehearsals singing the duet Farewell My Summer Love with Michael Jackson as he was preparing for the tour.
Stop
she
it.
Was on stage with him like the day
no,
before he died.
She wasn't.
Something right away that week or something. She was in and there's video of her singing with him.
Oh my God.
And she even says in the promo that she's like face to face with Michael Jackson singing. It was she said it was just so surreal that she's
I can't
actually
even
on
imagine
stage with him.
Because my parents remember where they were when they got the news that Elvis died.
Yeah,
right?
And I remember where I was.
And I was not alive, I don't think. What year did he die?
77.
August 16th,
yeah, no.
1977.
Madonna's birthday in 1977.
Oh, yeah. It was their anniversary. That's what it was. They were married on August
16th. They were married on Madonna's birthday?
Coincidental.
On August 16th.
Things that you're going to say.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Not 1977, but they were married on August 16th. So, yes, okay. I remember that Elvis died on there, and apparently Madonna was born.
Born.
Yeah.
Right.
On the birthday. Okay.
Very busy
and
day.
On their anniversary. Yeah. So, but I can't remember that because I was not alive for Elvis's death. But I do remember when Michael Jackson died and what a huge fucking deal it was. And I was still with Sway at the time. And I like randomly went over to Gary's to work. You know, we were working out of his home office and I walked to his front door and we instinctually made a cocktail because that's what we did every day. And
shocking.
Yep. And we went into his room to like, we were very cash. We were just working on his bed for the day and we flipped the TV on and we're like, and I think I was in the bathroom.
What?
And I remember walking in and he goes, "Holy shit, Michael Jackson's dead." I'm like, "Oh, that's weird. Okay." And he's like, "Oh my God, no, like watch the TV." And it was, we were like glued to the TV, like, "Oh my God, Michael Jackson died." And then we had like a panic moment. We had to like watch all day that he had died.
Well, it was the day Farrah Fawcett died, so they already had my attention.
That was so sad that she got pushed aside.
I didn't even know that she had died. I came in and I couldn't believe it that Michael Jackson had died.
I thought it was a joke for the longest part of that afternoon.
We were really both shocked. So my point is to be someone like, for me, someone who's totally removed and unrelated. I can't even imagine like having been with him.
Well, that's what they mean about 20 feet from stardom. Then that's what I got from
the
title.
Is like,
they're like, standing that far from.
And the
them.
The one person in there who I have a love hate relationship, mostly love bitter relationship, is Darlene Love, because Darlene Love, because the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is so misogynistic and so anti-ethnic. That they wouldn't let two black women in the same year. So Darlene Love got Donna Summer's spot. And everyone agreed that they were never going to let Darlene Love and Donna Summer get in the same year. And they said they will pick Darlene Love because she's worked with everybody. Oh. Darlene Love was a backup singer for years.
But a backup singer to everyone versus Donna Summer. That's
right.
Surprising.
But because everybody in the rock and roll. And I mean, and she
all the
is,
rockers.
As soon as I saw the title 20 Feet from Stardom, I turned it over and I saw Darlene Love's name and I'm like, that's exactly how I would describe her, because you would say it, everyone would say, "I'm not sure who Darlene Love is," and then I would play you a part of her song and you'd be like, "Oh, I know her."
Yeah,
like
obviously.
That, her voice is so omnipresent.
It's almost like if you hear Ronnie Spector sing, you're like, that's
exactly.
Ronnie Spector.
And then they do the most one of the most famous versions of Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree that they play now all the time is Ronnie Spector. And Darlene Love.
Right.
It's the two of them duetting.
I actually am super obsessed with Christmas music. I love
yeah,
it.
So, but that's one of the, and they like.
I start playing Christmas music at Halloween.
You're dead.
Christmas is great for the Jews.
Things
there's
I would
the
say.
Santa, yeah. There's that the song on Saturday Night Live, Christmas Day for the Jews, or Christmas is great for the Jews, and all the things Jewish people do on Christmas Day because the town is free.
Oh, yeah.
So they can get into bar fights and win. It's sung by Darlene Love. And so just a weird thing.
That's cool. What a cool movie, though.
What a cool thing. And if you, so since that's hard to come by yet, it hasn't really been released outside of L.A. yet, you have to rent Standing in the Shadows of Motown, which is exactly the same, I'm assuming the same premise. It's about Motown's session musicians, their house band, and they played on everyone from the Supremes to the Jacksons, the Temptations, Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell, the Heatwave people, Martha
Reeves, the Vandellas.
The Vandellas. Everything, every Motown song, you know, and Aretha Franklin is not Motown, so don't get me started on
she's
that.
She's Arista.
She's Arista. Atlantic.
I thought she was Arista.
She is now, but she was Atlantic.
Oh, yeah, because Motown is the record label. It's not like the genre. I think of Motown as the genre.
And it's a record label.
Yeah. Right.
But so everyone that, all the real Motown artists, this was their backup band.
So suck it, Aretha Franklin.
No, but Atlantic Records has a great soul.
So I feel like that was about.
They're Otis Redding. They're Aretha Franklin. They have a great, they're the Spinners. They have their own. So to combine them takes away from some. Anyways, that's all inside baseball.
But right.
Standing in the Shadows of Motown is this documentary filled with great music, great musicians, and then a lot of people come in to sing the hits that you know, and they do fantastic cover versions. And it's 20 feet from, what's it called? 20 feet from Stardom.
Stardom.
So here's the people.
Looks really cool.
They are on every record you've ever loved in your life, and they've been together for years. They've just started dying now, so this documentary was made as they were taking their last breaths. So that's the movie recommendation I would make.
But that's
you can
what
see
I want to go see it with him, because it's going to be every inside baseball story that, you know, oh my God, that person, this, that, that's
I
all
love
it's going to be.
Al's Insider Baseball.
Right. Yeah. So that's what I want to do. So when it comes here, you and I do definitely want to go see that movie. I won't go see the zombie thing with you.
Yeah, no,
you
I'm into
like
that immediately.
That, but I don't want to do that at all. It is about 10 from. First day. Things I would say temptingly.
Yeah. Things Angie Dickinson would stumble over because she had a cock in her mouth.
It is coming up on 10 minutes in front of 9 o'clock or the end, almost the end of hour two. We have some other business to take care of. Katie's going to come back. Got some sports. It's going to span into hour three. Thoughtful Vulgarity. It's where we drink more and talk more, but, you know, things that really mean a lot to us. So we'll be back with more right after this.
You're listening to Cue Talk America.
If you think it sucked so far, just wait till after this 30-second dance break.
By the Supreme Court of the United States later this month. Hello, everyone. I'm Randall White, host of Equality Radio here on Cue Talk America, in anticipation of what will surely be a historic day. The staff here at Equality Radio is hard at work putting together expert guests, background information, and legal analysis for a solid day of live coverage. We are greatly expanding our show that day to fit the occasion, and we want to be sure you have a forum to express your thoughts as history unfolds around us. There may be no other day more important in LGBT history than what's about to happen. Equality Radio on Cue Talk America will be here for you on that day.
This is the Cue Talk America Radio Network.
Phoenix Mercury win their third game in a row, beating the Tulsa Shock 108-103 in overtime. Ooh. The Spurs hold a 3-2 series edge and have two swings to Miami Heat. It's NBA Finals and Danny Green should be happy. Chad Ochocinco Johnson out of jail. Chris Christie loves the New York Mets. And a group of Atlanta radio hosts are dicks.
Aha, uh-huh, that is true. I heard that story.
Things Andrew Dickinson would say.
Boom! Yeah, woo, dick. God. I like it.
We're going to split the sports up into two parts, so go ahead.
Good. So the Phoenix Mercury, my girls, happy to report that they have moved up a few spaces from fifth out of six to third out of six in the Western Conference of the WNBA, behind only Minnesota and LA. LA, of course, they beat last week, which we were really excited about. They just beat the Tulsa Shock 108-103 in overtime. Taurasi again, player of the game, in what could be argued her best game of the season. She finished close to a triple-double with 29 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists, and 3 steals.
Wow.
In overtime, they scored 15 points in 5 minutes, 8 of those points coming from Taurasi, and it was just too much for the Shock to handle.
The Shock.
In spite of stretches where they didn't necessarily play up to par in that game, Phoenix out-rebounded the Shock 41-35, hit a season high of 10 three-pointers, and assisted on 20 of their 37 field goals. So we're proud of our Merc. They're moving up. Yeah. They're turning into the team that we expected them to be, 3 in a row. You know, after they lost their first couple of games, you can tell they had some real... They had a
little
real hard,
come to Jesus.
Yes, a come to Jesus. And I swear to God, they are
come
a different
to Superman.
Team.
I'm sorry.
They are. And thank
come,
you for that.
Come on, the Man of Steel. Things Andrew Dickinson would say.
Things Andrew Dickinson has probably done.
Lucky
lady. I have a question for you in regards to them.
Yeah.
And if you've already said it, I forgot for not being able to listen to you because I was doing other important things because I'm too busy to take phone calls. How long, the current incarnation of the Mercury, how long have they been played together? Is it just, because obviously Griner just came now, right?
Brittany Griner's here. This is her first year.
Okay, so she's...
It changes. You mean this team?
Like have they had time to find their gel?
It changes every year. So Taurasi has been on the team for around 10 years. I can't remember if it's actually 11, 10, or 9 years. But
okay.
I want to say actually probably 9. But... So Taurasi's been around 9 years in the league. She's only ever played for the Mercury. So the really exciting thing about that is that she came out. So when she came onto the team, she was like the Griner, Brittany Griner. Sure. She was the big star, first, you know, round draft.
But a decade has passed.
A decade's passed. Right. What's awesome, though, is that she's still the number one player. I mean, she is literally scoring 30, almost 40 points a game. That's crazy. She is hitting three-pointers like crazy. She's on top of her game now more than even ever. But this incarnation,
the body holds up, the experience.
Oh my god,
the experience in the pro level makes
it's
unfucking
believable. Sure, sure. The beginning of this season, she was really tired. The team was not gelling.
Sleepy
things. Angie Dickinson is regularly, but she was. So this team has only been playing this year, it literally changes every year.
The reason I ask is because, you know, going back, and I only know this because my mom watches NBA like crazy. But, like, you know, when you go back to the Bulls, like when Johnson, what the fuck's his name?
Michael Jordan.
Thank you, Jordan, and all the people, like that core team, mm-hmm. had been together for several years,
yeah.
and they were just like whipping everybody's ass. But I attribute some of that to the fact that
they knew each other.
Yeah. Well, they knew how to work.
If Marnie was here, she would chime in about, like, the Packers have now been a group for a while. The Patriots, like in football, I know in football the teams that have been together, you have your people that are your starters, your center.
But then there's Arizona sports, and anytime a team wins in Arizona, and I'm kidding you, anytime, which is rare, it must be the heat. And we think, let's dismantle this fucking team entirely. I was really following baseball and it was because of the person I was dating, but I was really following baseball when the Diamondbacks won the World Series. I'm really into it. And as soon as they won, and I loved that team, and I was excited, they dismantled the whole fucking team.
Oh, and then they sold the thing. They changed the colors.
Everybody.
Right. They took the baseball bat right up the ass. things Angie Dickinson hopes for.
Thank you. Jesus Christ.
So let's talk about some of their key players. Candace Dupree has been around for a couple of seasons now. Dawana Bonner has been around for...
Want a boner? Sure.
That sounds like a drag name.
I know.
One long vowel away
I brought my brother to the game, which for his birthday last week.
I saw your postings.
We had so much fun. We saw Grant Hill, and Matt's a big NBA guy, so he got his picture with... I like chased Grant Hill down. I don't do that to celebrities at all, but I chased him down because of my brother's birthday, and he was excited. Guest picture. Anyway, Dawana Bonner. She's fucking amazing. She looks like a toothpick, but she's really good. Penny Taylor, who hasn't played in a season and a half because of her knee, but Diana Taurasi. So we've got, like, some of those, you know, staples.
Yeah.
But Brianna Gilbraith is a player that has gone through some shit and back. She's been transferred around in the only 2 years she's been in the league. She finally, you know, it's one of those, and I'm so excited about her. She got brought back to Phoenix. She was Phoenix. We dropped her. LA picked her up. They dropped her last season. We picked her up again this season. We were getting ready to drop her, and we needed, like, a clutch player. We just needed somebody. And we threw her in, and actually she started last week, and she was on fire. She had, you know, I want to say 8 to 13, somewhere in that range, points. She was just really clutch. It was exciting to see a player.
That's good.
That. Yeah. So fun. So Mercury, like I said, now is 3 out of 6. Ain't bad.
Gotcha.
NBA finals are happening. The Heat have pushed into Heat have been pushed in difficult situations all postseason long, but now they're really up against it. The Spurs hold a 3-2 series edge, and the next game is tonight. It could actually be happening right now. I'm sure, given the time.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah.
We can't even take a phone call. Everybody got time for a basketball game. What the hell?
So we're excited. The Spurs could, if they win tonight's game, that they're it. They're the winners. If the Heat can win tonight's game, then it pushes them to a game 7 in Miami, and it'll be really intense. So we're excited.
It is with, we're in overtime, it looks like, with 3:08 left in overtime, 97.
Who's up?
99-97. The Spurs are winning.
Damn, Gina. We're rooting for the Spurs, by the way, in this
damn,
room.
Gina. Oh, yeah?
Damn, Gina!
Were you hearing that was our drinking word?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think it, yeah.
We've got more sports with Katie June coming up in just a few minutes. It's our crossover for hour 2 and 3. We're going to go with some thoughtful vulgarity in a few minutes. And then, everybody's got a bucket list of shit they want to bitch about, so we'll do that too.
We have two important things.
Especially Al. He's got something special to give us in a minute. And you don't hear that every day coming from Al. It's the show. It's Q Talk America. I'm here with Katie June and Al Perkins. Marnie Ryer has the night off. We'll be back right after this.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, here we go again. It's the beginning of hour three. Thank you for tuning in with us. It's 9 o'clock. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Clayton.
My gosh, the time has just flown. People wonder how we do a three-hour show. It just blows right by to
me. It really does.
It's easy.
And Kelly asks me every Tuesday, are you still into this? And I'm like, even more than I was last week. I mean, you know, I think she thought that I would get tired of it at some point. It's gotten better.
No, wait. Now my fear is if I run into Kelly, she's gonna let me know that you are done.
No, she's gonna be like, no.
Not that you're done, but she's gonna be like, I want my wife back on Tuesday nights.
No, I'm honest to God, I think she appreciates a little. You know, we both work from home.
Some time away.
We both work from home.
Things Kelly would say.
Yes, that is actually a thing. I said, what are you gonna do tonight? She's like, watch shows you don't like. Perfect. Yeah. Done. I love it.
Nobody loses.
What's a win-win here with us?
Yeah.
Anyway, we are beginning of hour three. We're still in the middle of Katie June's sports section. Al's got some other things coming up. We have the Death Watch, which I'm going to get the board for in a second. Also, Thoughtful Vulgarity coming up. But let's continue on with Katie June and some sports.
So, of course, it's the NBA Finals. Here's kind of an exciting story coming out of these teams. Danny Green, the shooting guard for the San Antonio Spurs, is your typical underdog. He's a great player when he's called upon. And until recently, he's always been known as a quote-unquote role player, which is a player who comes off the bench, is kind of limited to what they can do. You know, he's always kind of on the team, and they call on him. And if he does stuff, great. And if not, it's fine, too. Kind of like my Brianna Gilbreth with the Mercury. We're excited about her lately. So he started his career in Cleveland with LeBron James when LeBron was in Cleveland. They're actually the worst team in the league. I mean, according to some people. And he was with him for a few years before LeBron left for Miami. Well, some time passes. Danny Green gets traded to the San Antonio Spurs. And now he is right within the grasp of stealing this championship from LeBron, which would be pretty cool because he was kind of a no-namey player when he was with LeBron. Now he's against LeBron. And here's the cool part. He has just set the record for three-point shots made in an NBA final series.
Wow.
So this guy has kind of come out of nowhere.
Field goal.
And there's still potentially two games left tonight and then tomorrow.
We're at 1:19 left in overtime, and the Heat are leading 101-100.
Oh, my God. So this is intense. Yeah, this is what basketball fans live for. Either way, you're
I don't know inside basketball, so I don't know what happens. Is there double overtime?
If they're tied. The way that hockey overtime works is that when you're in overtime, the first team to score, right?
Yeah, and they just changed the rules on football this last year.
Okay,
the Bills played the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And they changed the overtime rules so that both teams have to have possession. It's not just the first score.
Okay.
The other team has to get possession.
And that makes sense, though, in
it's
football.
Fair.
It makes more sense. And in hockey, the puck is going a lot quicker kind of than in football.
Things
it's
Angie Dickinson would say, yeah.
I mean, she is. Angie Dickinson is good for a
She's
laugh.
Busy. Yeah,
she is. She's got a lot going on.
I've been
woman.
Sitting on that for 5 weeks.
I'm happy you pulled tonight.
The password is Angie Dickinson.
In basketball, the overtime goes, and I forgive me for not knowing, and maybe someone in the chat room can chime in. I don't know how long.
It's not going to be Harrison.
The overtime is, but let's say the overtime is 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Then the overtime is played until 5 minutes is up. There's no, who scores first. So the possession can go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Or the win, the lead before. So when.
Well, in a best of seven series, you figure a tie's not going to help anybody. Three and a half and 3.5 doesn't get you nothing.
Not a damn thing.
No.
Yeah.
So you gotta keep playing until it'd be like baseball where it goes on to 3 o'clock in the morning. Or have you ever seen a baseball game where they have to finish the next fucking day?
Yes. I've never seen that.
That's why I
golf,
can't.
Golf, yes. Baseball, never.
Yeah. That they have to take. Could be we're at inning 15. And like,
come on,
the players'
I've
wives are
never
like,
get my man home.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very good. It's very exciting for this Danny Green. So look him up if you're interested in learning a little bit more about his career.
That's the kind of shit that makes me root. Because, you know, if I don't know either team, but I still watch. And it's in customers' rooms at work. Mm-hmm. And so I watch.
Yes.
Because it's a
customers. That threw me for just like a second.
Somebody avoiding a topic would say.
let's just acknowledge hungry the fact diners. That if there's a TV on, I'll watch it. Like, because my family,
I mean, we're human, right?
Watches golf. So I knew I wanted to be part of the conversation when I was home. So I watched whatever the fuck that was. And then at the end of it, they're like, well, we're going to watch something else. No, you're fucking not.
Yeah. No, we are watching this.
I've been waiting for someone to win this goddamn boring piece of
shit. Leave it on.
Watch this until someone emerges victorious with flesh in their teeth.
Yeah, well, that's tough at golf.
And a baseball bat up their ass.
Crow's nest in the 19th hole. That's what I'm waiting for.
Things Andrew Dickinson said. Woo! So Chad Ochocinco Johnson, who we talked about last week.
Oh, we need to do a big fact check on this one.
Okay. Oh, go forward.
Okay, so we all were on the same page. What happened was they were getting ready to give she was getting ready plea to agreement. Hand down her plea agreement.
Because he had like signed it with his lawyer, right. We'll take the plea.
And she just has to ask, are you happy with your representation? He said yes, and she's like, well, you should be. He's a very good guy. Responding to her compliment of him, he smacked him on the ass, straight face, no disrespect.
Because you could see his face like from the backside.
But absolutely no disrespect. He was acknowledging the judge, acknowledging what a good lawyer he had. Everyone in the court laughed. Not him, not the lawyer.
Okay.
And she was mad because he made the court laugh. And she just got... She did overstep. I went back and watched it. Hugely. She punished him for everyone being starfuckers. Everyone in the courtroom was so excited to have Ochocinco there.
And then he made a little Ochocinco move.
But he didn't.
He did. He was still
in court
for headbutting his wife.
Right, no.
And then,
I will never justify
getting
what he
out of
did.
His and then like avoiding, you know, his probation officer for 3 months. So
he deserved to go to jail. Everything about that, he deserved whatever was coming to him. But he was just simply, the judge gave a professional nod to his lawyer, and it would have been the
same
if he
smacked. And that was his professional nod.
If he would have smacked him on the back or given him an elbow.
That it was like, the butt, and everyone laughed.
A judge just acknowledged that you are very good at what you do.
Like, right.
It was that everyone laughed. So I don't think it would have changed much. And seriously, he beat a woman. He didn't hurt a dog.
Yeah.
Oh, Man of Steel. You know when I almost walked out? Someone dies getting a fucking dog out of a car. I was like, are you kidding me?
This is when you should chime in, Tyler. We have an animal hater in the house.
No, but it turns out it's all over IMDb. Like, all the message boards are like...
Oh, people also hate it?
Oh, everyone was like, why did we lose a major character? Like, why is your dog locked in the car? Like, first off, you left a dog locked in the car on a hot summer day, so you were already going
to
hell.
Your own fault.
Own fault. So there you go.
Well, you'll feel better then, Al, that Ochocinco...
he was released, wasn't he?
He served less than a week in jail.
So it's like a lay prison system.
Yes. And
you get 2 hours because we have no room.
But you know what's amazing?
There's no time for you. Don't we get
actually,
take calls?
Do you know what's amazing is that like Lindsay Lohan, who's a big train wreck of garbage, has served like a day. And Ochocinco, who really didn't do nearly as much, has served almost a week. But he got out. He went to court. Same judge. Same whole thing. He apologized to the judge in what was a very sincere and legitimate apology. She said... You seem very sincere, and you're done.
And
with
I think
your
she's
time.
Seen the video too. Of
sure,
he was very straight faced and just. And granted, he's
it was
an
a
asshole.
Slight acknowledgement of his. Yeah. Well, he actually said then afterward, and of course he's not going to say anything else. But you know, he could have gotten out of jail and said that lawyer's a bitch, whatever. And he got out and said, I appreciate the judge. I appreciate her. She did the right thing. It actually gave me some extra time to kind of think about where I am in my life. And he seemed really genuine when he was talking to the
camera.
He really
don't beat
seemed
your wife.
Genuine.
How about that?
Yeah, right.
Next.
But he said it gave him some time to think that he would not have otherwise had some serious time.
A small program note. Filling in next week for Katie June, Lindsay Lohan, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, and we can do things Lindsay Lohan would say, too.
Oh, my God, yes.
Because there are a lot to say. Is that bleach? Can I have it for my hair?
Is that conditioner? Because I don't need it.
I've never even seen is that a bottle cocaine? Up close. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
She's cut more lines than crippled kids at Disneyland.
Things Angie Dickinson wishes she could say. Yeah.
Things I've said about other people.
I've never had so much fun drinking before. What's going on?
So the one other thing, two other stories quickly. Chris Christie, of course, in New Jersey, and he has admitted that he has a love affair with the New York Mets.
Well, they play cheers, in Jersey, so.
Cheers and jeers, he said. It's gotten a lot of cheers and jeers. He is a New York Knicks fan, but he doesn't like the Yankees and instead pulls for the weaker Mets. The Mets are pretty terrible. And the Yankees
Oh, they are consistently terrible.
Consistently. And the Yankees are always as always contending for a World Series ring. The World Series idea, by the way, always gets me.
We get one other country. Canada's in, because Toronto Blue Jays. I will tell you, though, that
So it's really the North America series.
It's basically the American series. I totally get it. We are still the Americas.
One of the most exciting times that I was in New York was when they call it the Subway Series, and it's when the Mets were playing the Yankees for the World Series, which meant that New York already thinks it's the center of the universe happen in their backyard. Can you imagine the insaneness of two New York teams competing for...
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? Like, one time it was Buffalo and the Giants, which at least is opposite sides of the states. It's a good 800 miles apart.
But it's exciting.
But the Mets and the Yankees. Yeah. And they called it the Subway Series, and they painted all the trains to, like, acknowledge where you were going.
It's a city torn apart, almost.
His political advisors have told him as well. They've gotten involved in his sports affiliations.
Are they, like, STFU on this?
Strongly have discouraged him in more of a jovial way from revealing his NFL alliance, signaling that the New York Giants as well play as the Jets play in his home state. So just keep your business out of football.
Right, because there is
you got
no,
your baseball preference, zip it on the football.
The only team that plays in New York is the in New York City.
Yeah.
Is that because New York, the only true New York team is Buffalo.
Buffalo Bills. Yeah.
The Buffalo Bills.
Which a lot of New Yorkers, and Kelly's from Buffalo, so she's a Buffalo fan.
She's
mildly
obsessed because we have nothing else to live for.
I think that New Yorkers really love
the Bills. Because we take everything else, like from upstate New York to central New York to Western. That's all we got. We got nothing.
So it's been kind of a fun story with Chris Christie, who looks like, in my opinion, is going to be a presidential candidate.
Oh, the Heat are now 103-100 with 1 second to go in overtime.
Shit,
but
you're
somehow
kidding.
They scored without the clock changing.
I really want the Spurs to win.
Program note to ESPN.com. You're lying about this live streaming because the clock didn't change. Yeah.
Last story. A group of Atlanta radio hosts were recently fired for making an off-color skit about...
This is ridiculous.
ALS.
Ridiculous.
And in particular, a former NFL player who is battling the disease right now. I'm going to go to this particular page. So Steve Gleason wrote on his organization's Facebook page Tuesday that he accepts the apologies of the three Atlanta radio DJs who mocked his Lou Gehrig's disease in a skit Monday morning and were later fired. The 36-year-old Gleason was formerly a safety for the Saints and was diagnosed with atrophic lateral sclerosis. ALS in 2011.
Oh, just call it Lou Gehrig disease. We all know what you mean.
Lou Gehrig's disease.
Or ALS.
He thanked the public for their support on the Facebook page. He's got a defend team Gleason now officially on Facebook and this whole group, which is he did not start this defend team Gleason. But he has said, I think that everyone can learn from this event. It's clear to me on a national and global scale. ALS is not understood, which is why it's underfunded, largely ignored. In all honesty, this has really kind of helped him and helped the cause. But essentially what happened, 970 The Zone hosts, Nick Kaleni, Steak Shapiro.
Steak.
Morning shows.
Really?
Get a clue.
Yeah.
And Chris D'Amino were fired Monday after a segment Monday morning in which the two of the on-air personalities took a call from a third host who pretended to be Gleason by using a voice that was automated, mimicking another ALS patient.
Ooh, that's shitty.
World-renowned physicist Stephen Hawking.
Have you heard this?
I haven't heard it.
It's embarrassing to think that somebody would
think that's morning entertainment.
It was horrible.
It's pretty hideous. I mean, ALS is an incredibly serious disease, which is interesting.
And a slow, horrible slow, way to die.
Right.
Big supporter of the Phoenix Suns and the Mercury, an elderly couple. The woman passed away from Lou Gehrig's disease earlier this year. And at the Mercury game, they're like the people that are constant. Oh, goodness.
How are you done? Oh, my God. It's Katie. Things Katie Jim would do.
Anyway, they are front and center of the Mercury. They did a tribute to this woman because she died of ALS just before the season started. And it was a very nice tribute, but it's very, very sad. And it's a really horrible disease. So it's just bullshit to make fun of something like that, regardless when you have the public's ear. And to do it for someone that's like a sports star, still alive. I mean, it's tacky. So
yeah.
Now what I did hear late this afternoon, oddly on my ride here, because you know I ride my bike and I listen to headlines. Even though I do a lot of bullshit headlines, we do. There's still some reality in there somewhere. One of the things that they said was the odd thing is that what this has done, because his reaction, the guy who's afflicted with ALS. He made a statement of like, basically, we're not going to waste time with this. I'm not going to comment on this. We have better things to do. We're raising money for
which
things.
Which is the right way to go.
Right, which is what I did. But what wound up happening was apparently in the past 24 to 48 hours, however long this has been, apparently through the roof donations have been.
Oh, yeah.
So it has thrown the ALS fight back into the forefront of things. And I agree. I think
that's what they said. People are talking about it. People are giving money. Right.
But the fucktards that did it deserve to be off the air. And I hope that nobody ever hires them again.
It's just not funny.
It's not funny at all.
But I don't want to say that because they won't come after me.
as soon as you said they should be off the air, I'm like, we actually like our co-host.
Okay, but there's a difference between calling somebody a fucktard or a cunt or whatever. That's different. That's an opinion. But if you're literally parroting
someone,
we don't come in here and act like we're blind or deaf or crippled.
Right.
And we may
sound like it.
Yeah.
And we might make some off-color comments, but to do the radio.
I would never use that horrible word, and I know I find it funny, and it's wrong, but Barbara Streisand made a commercial for the American Association of Retarded People, and I don't associate it with that. Like, I associate it with stupid people that should know better, not with anyone that has a handicap. Like, I honestly don't associate that with...
There is an...
In music,
keep in mind, one of a mom friend of mine's daughter.
Things Al Perkins would say.
A mom friend of mine's daughter is Down syndrome. So
I know, and I'm
beware.
working on fag too. Like there, yeah. I know. There's words I have to get rid of. And that one's going to be a slow goer for me.
Yes. Oh my God, Jesus! Things Angie Dickinson would say.
Right.
It's going to be a slow comer.
But again,
I want a man with a slow hand.
Things Al says.
And a fast wit.
About his Saturday night date.
All right, so can I lighten this up just a scooch?
Okay, first off,
I think we're pretty light. Can I have a brownie, please?
In school. Please,
I want you to know that if you can make some kind of a cocoa butter balm that smells like this to put in my bathtub, I'd never leave.
Good.
Or an air freshener, because I've been smelling this thing like crap.
It smells good, right? And... Give me your honest opinion, because I think they taste pretty good.
Well, I would never give
them a dishonest. They're a tiny bit dry, but that's not gluten.
But you know,
it actually is.
Yeah.
But it is.
The gluten is a little more chewy
Let me tell you to fix that. You bite off and then take a drink of your whatever beverage.
That's what I did.
You're good. You're golden.
I dipped it in red wine and it was perfect.
Lovely. Yes. Where did we leave off?
Okay, so when I was in school, I had the hardest time keeping diseases straight.
Okay.
Until my teacher his name was Dr. G. I can't remember what his full last name was. His teacher was Dr. G, and he realized early that I did better when diseases had a celebrity face. So if you could put... Things Andy Dickens would say. If you could put a disease to a star, I could rock the house with it.
Right.
I always got it down. Like, what celebrity? Oh, Woody Guthrie. okay. Always had it. Native Americans. So that's the hantavirus common to Native Americans.
I thought it was alcoholism.
Because of the four corners. Same thing. okay, that's worse than the R word. That would work for me. So I love ALS because it has a built-in celebrity.
They just
call it by it. Call it Michael J. Fox disease,
right,
and we'll never
Parkinson's.
Forget. We'll never forget what it is. Is it Parkinson's? No, he is. I don't even know.
I thought he had Parkinson's.
He does have
Parkinson's.
I don't remember.
Parkinson's, where you shake.
But no. Oh, Harrison, help me, because now we're really being awful.
Oh no.
But Katharine Hepburn does not, because one of the things with Parkinson's disease that everyone said Katharine Hepburn was you get a mask-like face where you don't show emotion. I'm like, she has four fucking Oscars. She does not have a mask-like face that does not show. So I argued that point all the way. One time, drunk, 16 years old, at a friend's house, drinking my fool head off, staying the night, of course, safe driving, designated driving.
Stay in the night.
Naked, just post-coital with whatever stranger was upstairs in the bedroom.
I can't imagine what Dickinson would say.
Post-coital
with a stranger.
I fell down a flight of stairs and into the litter box.
Okay.
And lining the litter box was the headline, David Niven dies of Lou Gehrig's disease.
And you're like, fuck, not so two people.
I have always known how David Niven died. Due to a very informative kitty litter box. In downtown Buffalo in 1980.
That's fantastic. By the way, I heard Katharine Hepburn, and my parents have oft told me, although it's not true, that I was named after her. I wasn't.
Why?
Well, I actually have heard the story that I was named. They wanted to call me Courtney, and they were in the hospital, and one of the nurses says, you know, I've always liked Katharine. And they're like, us too. And pop, here I came, and I'm Katharine.
Pop, there she is.
But I prefer to feel that I was named after Katharine Hepburn.
Well, you know, Bette Midler was named after Betty Davis, but her parents
didn't know how to say it. Yes, I think that's awesome.
They'd never heard it said out loud.
So awesome.
So they called her Bette.
God bless it.
They thought she was Bette Davis.
It's perfect. I love it. Bette Davis.
Well, it could have been more.
I love that story. Okay, so we have to get to news real quick. People, they're all still fucking alive.
Wait a minute. I almost
Prince
said.
Prince Philip's very sick.
Okay,
though.
And also wait, Nelson Mandela.
We can't talk about it without the open.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes,
oh, my God.
I want to skip it because we have two big news stories that we have.
Wait, no, you can't skip news? It because I have a thing.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well.
I was outvoted. I appreciate democracy.
I need the death gun.
Here we go.
I need the music. Here we go.
And now.
Okay, I was about to post on all of y'all's Facebook pages.
Oh, all y'all.
Boom! Like a big boom, all caps, Nelson Mandela, suck it. But then I felt like a smidge guilty because I was like,
you're rooting for his death?
And that's what I felt like. I'm like, oh, it's sad he died.
Well, we said that last week.
No, I said, sad in my head. It's sad that he died, so I don't want to actually sound totally insensitive. Come to find out, he didn't actually die.
No.
So then I was really, really glad that my sensitivity chip kicked in for a second, and I did not post, booyah, got one, like on
things Andrew Dickinson would say.
Right? Gosh.
I thought he died.
No.
I like was reading tributes to him.
Well, they've got it. Everybody's ready.
Yeah.
All the bios have been
I really thought that we were going to get a point. Not that I was going to get a point.
Well, we have Phil and Betty Windsor, and Phil is not looking good.
Really?
Because
she just had her, like,
casual racist. He got out of the hospital again. They keep releasing him. He's like the catch and release program.
Everybody else on that list, fuck, if they aren't going to live forever.
Valerie Harper just gave an interview on Inside Hollywood.
Valerie Harper
Hollywood.
Is literally supposed to die, like, yesterday.
Well,
I mean, and God she bless
is,
her.
But she
Good
is going to
make
it. The premiere of
We Are Happy for
Hot
Her
in Cleveland is any minute now.
It's like
tomorrow.
Next week.
Oh, yeah, tomorrow. Live.
Oh, okay. Two big news stories. Two things. We got to.
Are we done with death?
Yeah, we're done.
All right. Sorry.
They all live forever. Okay. We're like the Make a Wish Foundation over here. These are the people we want
make
to live
Make a wish
for
that they're
ever.
Going to never die.
Okay.
I'd like to actually put myself on that list.
Our non-cunt of the day, and we have to give her credit. I know.
I know who you're going
to
say.
Yeah, you guys have you listen to that crap radio.
We love it.
But I turn it on too, and I leave it as bathroom. I try to cover up farts in the bathroom with it. But so last week, and I almost.
Things Andrew Dickinson would probably say.
Yeah. I almost took the goddamn radio and threw it on the ground because this guy was talking about, and he had all his facts wrong.
He
was talking about exactly. I'll have to like correct all
home.
Of this next week.
Right.
He was talking about how the Affordable Care Act and that oh my god the premiums were going up in every state when really like Oregon has already proved that
Oregon, Washington, and California, as a matter of fact,
that they're all the prices are all going down. That it's turned into a competitive
great article.
Market. This guy's saying no, it's the opposite. And he's
this
like,
guy's
all,
a dick.
He's like, all we can do is thank God that Jan Brewer is our governor, and she will fight this till the day she's taken out of office.
She signed it.
She didn't sign it. Jan Brewer used her political clout.
No, she pushed it.
She, we can't call her a cunt anymore.
No. I mean, we can.
Well, we can. Of course we can. We will. But because she's still a casual. Well, she actually, she's an active racist.
Yeah, no,
she's
casual. Taking,
but anyways.
things actually take a sense.
When she's faced with a white lover.
That's amazing.
Clayton, too. So
I'm going to give you that one. Yeah, got it.
So she finally got it in her mind, like, Arizona hospitals are going under because we have to treat – you have to treat people. You cannot turn people away. So someone is offering to pay the bill for the next 3 years, and she's like, oh, shit. This bill comes due no matter what we do. Why not let the people that offered to pay for it pay for it? And we'll figure it out in a couple years how to transition it to us and give 300,000 people, including Molly Montgomery, health insurance. Yeah. So what are Ian, and I mean cunt in the happiest, nicest possible
nicest
way right now.
Way.
She vetoed every bill that came to her office until they realized she was not bullshitting.
I heard that.
And got it passed. And she went, she overrode everybody, and finally they relented, and they're like, oh, this crazy bitch, like, we hate her too.
You
like,
know what?
Everyone has realized she has nothing to lose.
Nothing.
She's never going to get elected to anything besides, like, dog catcher. Psychic moment.
Waterboard, maybe?
Yeah.
No, like, she might be on a school board, but
and
doubtful.
Now, and I can't remember what other state now. Is it Oklahoma or some other state has made a big deal that
their governor is doing the same thing?
If
shit crazy Arizona can do it, then any other state.
But she
feels
didn't just do
it.
She
pushed it. So here's what's really exciting. And
she,
like,
took her 2 days of clout.
Yeah. And what's exciting is, okay, so a few weeks ago, a friend of mine, Bobby Hess, you may or may not know Fun Bobby Hess. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Bobby, this is.
Oh,
like,
I love Fun Bobby.
Yeah. So this is maybe like a week, month ago. And he was posting on his Facebook, I'm excited about Jan Brewer. I got to say, I stand up for her. And I responded, like, fuck you and fuck her. Like, I was like, I hate her. And I just was not in the loop of that all this was brewing. I just, like, wasn't paying attention. And, but I have to say, like, come now and in the last week, you know, regardless of the reasons that she did it, I don't know.
No, she went for the right reason.
I feel that's
you're
what I'm going to say.
You're insuring 300,000 like more people. And you're understanding that someone is going to help you pay the bill.
I feel like she did it for the right reasons. And the reasons that people are in government that I think so many elected officials forget that they are actually in government to serve their people.
Right.
To help them in whichever way that may be, whether it falls right or left of the line. Like, you're in government to serve people.
Not to fuck 300,000 people. Yeah.
300,000 people, women and children and men and families in your state that are either going to, like, die on a dry creek bed, or you're going to give them health. You're going to help them with health benefits. You can't, and she's proven that you can't say no to that.
You can't say no to that.
You can't say no to your actual people. Now, she did say no, and what pisses me off is then you think back to the transplant issue when she drew the party line.
But then she caved.
Fuck that. She did, but she drew the party line with enough time for people to die. That's crazy, because we were feeling, and Kirsten in particular was feeling furious.
Oh.
Furious about someone dying because, and Anna Tovar specific, because it was Anna Tovar, who was a representative, was a transplant recipient.
Oh, yeah.
And she's a Democrat, and God bless her. She's also really loudly anti-choice, which I can't get behind her on that. But she's a Democrat, and she was in the legislature every day saying, I received a transplant. I would physically not be here today representing my constituents if it wasn't for these programs. That's really incredible. Anyway, so shame on her for some of the things she's done in the past. Good on her for
getting
this
something
move.
Right. Like, she got one thing right. But you know what? When we get to these end of terms, and we say it all the time, and SCOTUS is coming up any minute. Legacy. You have to start worrying about your legacy. Like, how will you be perceived by history? And I thought yesterday was generally acknowledged as the day that SCOTUS was going to make their decision.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, people thought.
Thursday. That's what we've been saying.
Monday was the first choice, and they struck down the Arizona law on ID.
Yeah. Wow.
And Russell Pierce active racist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh yeah.
Was there because he's the motherfucker that got voted out of office but still defending it. Oh, Google Russell Pierce and find out what he said yesterday. He is still the cunt. Well, he's not the cunt of the week. The other one is, but he can be the cunt of next week.
He can be the cunt of the year.
Oh my God. This man
or last
just,
year. Actually last year, because fuck him. He's
just
last
wear
year's
the
news.
White hood and get
oh, he
it
does,
over with.
He does still, doesn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He goes to Klan rallies.
JT Redding. He and JT Redding. Well, the thing about I was really, really surprised about the Supreme Court ruling on the voting because I know and I appreciate and I understand you know what Arizona was saying is that you should be able to prove all of these things, but I also know and appreciate and understand that there are elderly people, seniors, there are
all kinds of people
that can't make.
And you can't just say to someone, you're brown, I need more from you than
right.
I need from the white
person. And the
person.
Other thing is that...
And the heat won, by the way.
You know, is... Oh, they did.
Yeah, the heat
Motherfucker.
Won.
Motherfucker. Is that... I was not ready for
breaking
them.
News.
I know. Is that, you know, I don't like to see a poll worker, for example, having that kind of power. I don't want to... Whoever they are. Like, I don't want to see...
Especially if you've gone and voted and met them.
Because poll workers will turn you away, and they will really... You know, Democratic Party's always been really staunch about having people out there.
Oh, and you weren't here election night. Election day, I went in without ID. Like, I tried every way to fake vote. I tried to not have my ID. Then I tried to use, like, a bill...
You were intentionally.
I was intentionally trying to step them up to see, like, is voter fraud, if I'm, the whitest person alive, can I get to vote without all, and they made me, like, I had to have my ID, they wouldn't accept the bill, they wouldn't accept all these different things, no. I needed my picture ID, so I'm like, fuck this voter fraud shit, stopping me, and I was
being
really polite, and, like, showing them, like, oh, I forgot my wallet, can I still vote, and I played like, airline dumb, like, I used to play dumb to get bigger bags out of the plane, because I would play dumb right up until then, I'm like, oh, do you have to check that bag, okay, because I didn't want to stand in line,
yeah,
so I would take the giant suitcase up all the way up to the gate, and then they'd be like, you can't get that in overhead, really,
I can't,
can you check it,
yeah, I think that the,
I would have shot
I appreciate,
you.
No, but nobody had to wait, I just didn't have to wait in security lines,
I appreciate what they did, though, saying that it was, you know, stick with federal law, and I love that Scalia, didn't he write the majority opinion?
Yeah,
he wrote
it. It was our buddy Clarence Thomas, cunt of the century. Last century.
Rapey cunt of the rapists.
Yeah, rapey, that's a pubic hair in my Coca-Cola fucktard. And now, last bit of entertainment headline news. I have to fit it in. This Sunday night, and everybody better be DVRing it, taping it, however you find TV.
Yes.
Harrison,
I'm out
download
of town, so.
ABC Go or ABC.com. Wife swap this week is the,
Sarah Palin.
Sarah is not, she's not involved. It's the Palin family minus cunt
Sarah
with Joan and Melissa Rivers.
That's amazing.
So Joan Rivers and Melissa were on The View today and they're talking about being on there with the Palins. And
wait, who swaps?
Bristol comes and lives with Joan.
Oh, fuck yes.
And Melissa goes.
Oh, okay. So it's like a daughter swap.
She goes with Twig.
Trig.
No, the husband's name?
Scott. No, the youngest child.
Oh, yeah.
Trig.
The
special
needs,
the special one?
Okay. Trig and the 18-year-old daughter. The, let's call her Lim. Branch.
Things nobody knows.
So she goes to live with them. So they're giving their interview. And so Joan Rivers did her impression. Like, what was her impression of Bristol? And she's like, well, I was expecting – these people have the world at their fingertips. Like, your mother's a millionaire now. You have the whole world at your disposal. You can go anywhere you want to. And she's like, she's done nothing. Like, they lead such sheltered lives. Like, they like being isolated.
Hashtag story of Republicans.
Right. So, and Joan Rivers couldn't stop saying it. And it was something that I would say. So I really identify with it. She's like, she's never seen a Broadway show. Like, they have all this money. They travel all the time. Stop and see a Broadway
it's
show.
It's Republicans. It's the way that they think. They just don't think about things that are artistic or worldly or matter.
Yeah. So Joan was so, like, Joan appreciated her. She respected her. And she said, I need you to, like, this is fun. We did this for TV. You came to my house in Hollywood. She's like, but you have to come to New York. She's like, that's nice that you came to LA and you did this, what, blah, blah, blah. But you have to come to New York for a week and experience, like,
because when Bristol,
have to experience culture. So she's like, so I'm going to take her to a Broadway show. And she goes, and then she goes, it will be in Sherry. And she goes, I'm going to take her to Harlem and scare the shit out of her. And then they bleeped her. And so Whoopi and Sherry are sitting there like a black joke. And she goes, and then I'm going to introduce her to a Jew.
Yes.
And that'll really scare the shit out of her. And I just thought it was the funniest
thing.
But
you know what's so interesting is that is legitimately like that type of person, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
they, you know, Bristol moved from...
You can't stay that narrow-minded and hate
Alaska,
everything.
Right.
To Maricopa, Arizona.
Right.
I mean,
you went from
like,
butthole to butthole.
Yes. Ooh. And she like hung out in LA for
Angie Dickinson.
Thank you. She hung out in LA for about 2 seconds.
That was it.
And that's what I think is one of the biggest problems with the people who are so narrow-minded that are Kansans.
That's probably not real. Close.
But, you know, the people from Arkansas.
That's very close, Missouri.
And, you know, all of these, like, Tennessee, not you, Tyler, but, you know, like, the majority of people from the South, they've never been anywhere else. They don't get life outside of their weird little bubble.
And that's the more people you know, the less you're afraid of them.
The less you hate people.
So you keep going and you keep experiencing more people. And that's, like, I say that about liberal arts education because you keep meeting different people. You keep meeting all these different cultures, all these different ideas. And the more you're introduced to new ideas, the less you're going to be like, oh, my God, they want to share.
Yeah.
It's just the way it goes.
Now, you've got something you said you had to share with us.
Sure. So Sunday night, ABC, however you can get ABC. And Harrison, don't bullshit me. You have an iPad. So ABC Go.
Yeah.
ABC Go. You have to watch it, even if it's Monday, but watch it by Tuesday and everybody report back.
Okay.
We're excited.
They eat an elk's liver or a moose's liver or something right out of Hannibal.
All right.
Oh, wait, one more thing. Sean Nerdahl has said that we should add Sally Struthers
to principle. Because eventually she's going to die of heart disease from eating starving children's food.
That's what he thinks. Also, I had gotten a response a little while ago from the one and only Steven Serna. He is in rehearsals for Hairspray. He literally cannot wait. He says, oh, my God, really? As soon as Hairspray opens in 2 weeks, I will totally be open. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sensing a review of Hairspray coming up.
And he is not showing up when I'm not here. I already put that on his Facebook.
Okay, good.
He will not be here without me.
Yeah, he's cute. And fun and
so we have to wait for Marnie to be gone again, or he could be a guest bartender.
That would be good.
Got it.
Okay. Just a little backstory. I was having a bad night the other night. I have a new...
I don't know why that was weird.
I have a supervisor who's a new listener to the show. She listened while she was in Boston.
Is that scary?
Huh?
Is that scary? Mind you, go in tomorrow with no more restaurant shifts.
Oh, no. So we share like likes and dislikes and all the time and thought the show was funny. So she thought that we might enjoy this. Please go to Amazon.com, Veet.
I'm literally doing it now.
You should be.
Okay. That's the point.
Veet, for men, hair removal gel cream. And I'm just going to read you maybe one, maybe two of the most helpful customer reviews. All right, now I wish...
Customer reviews.
Okay, I wish to God I could do an Australian accent because I swear that's where this person is from. After having been told my danglies look like an elderly Rastafarian, I decided to take the plunge and buy some of this as previous shaving attempts had only been mildly successful, and I nearly put my back out trying to reach the more difficult bits. Being a bit of a romantic, I thought I would do the deed on the missus's birthday as a bit of a treat. I ordered it well in advance, and working in the North Sea, I considered myself a bit above some of the characters writing the previous reviews and wrote them off as soft office types. Oh, my fellow sufferers, how wrong I was. I waited until the other half was tucked up in bed, and after giving some vague hints about a special surprise, I went down to the bathroom. Wait, I gotta hit read more now. Initially, all went well, and I applied the gel and stood waiting for something to happen. I didn't have long to wait. At first, there was a gentle warmth, which in a matter of seconds was replaced by an intense burning and a feeling I can only describe as like being given a barbed wire wedgie by two people intent on hitting the ceiling with my head. Religion hadn't featured much in my life until that night, but I suddenly became willing to convert to any religion to stop the violent burning around the turd tunnel and what seemed like the destruction of the meat and the two veg. Struggling to not bite through my bottom lip, I tried to wash the gel off in the sink and only succeeded in blocking the plug hole with a mat of hair. Through a haze of tears, I struggled out of the bathroom, across the hall, and into the kitchen. By this time, walking was not really possible, and I crawled the final yard to the fridge in the hope of some form of cold relief. I yanked the freezer drawer out and found a tub of ice cream, tore the lid, and positioned it under me. The relief was fantastic, but only temporary, as it melted fairly quickly and the fierce stabbing soon returned. Due to the shape of the ice cream tub, I hadn't managed to give the starfish any treatment, and I groped around in a drawer for something else as I was sure my vision was going to fail fairly soon. I grabbed a bag of what I later found out was frozen sprouts and tore it open, trying to be quiet as I did so. I took a handful of them and tried in vain to clench some between the cheeks of my arse. This was not doing the trick, as some of the gel had found its way up the chutney channel, and it felt like the space shuttle was running its engines behind me. This was probably and hopefully the only time in my life I was going to wish there was a gay snowman in the kitchen, which should give you some idea of the depths I was willing to sink in order to ease the pain.
A gay snowman.
The only solution my pain-crazed mind could come up with was to gently ease one of the sprouts where no veg had gone before.
Oh, my God.
Unfortunately, alerted by the strange grunts coming from the kitchen, the other half chose that moment to come up and investigate what was greeted by the sight of me, arse in the air, strawberry ice cream dripping from my bell end, pushing a sprout up my ass while muttering, "Oh, that feels good." Understandably, this was a shock to her, and she let out a scream as I hadn't heard her come in. It caused an involuntary spasm of shock in myself, which resulted in the sprout being ejected at quite some speed in her direction. I can understand that having a sprout farted against your leg at 11 at night in the kitchen probably wasn't the special surprise she was expecting, and having to explain to the kids the next day what the strange hollow in the ice cream was didn't improve my status. So to sum it up, beet removes hair, dignity, and self-respect.
Things Andy Dickinson would say.
Oh my gosh. And that's just one?
Yeah.
That is fantastic. Oh, my word.
Oh, it's going to be a short, thoughtful vulgarity segment.
Wait.
Okay, wait. This guy, wait, that guy actually gave 5 stars.
Yeah, they're all 5 stars. Right. That's what makes it funny.
No, this guy gave 1 star, and it says, "For your next challenge, grasshopper," and he gives a, of what I could imagine is a haiku. I don't know all of the syllables.
Rules, yeah.
"Eggs and whole burn. Deep, fiery red in the autumn sun. Heed wide words in the blue." Wise words. So he apparently had used it as well, and it was not working out for him.
Wait, there's one about the Olympics in here that's absolutely fantastic.
It says, "Do not put on knobs and bollocks." Someone says, "A new lease on life. A bad idea." I suppose we should suggest to any of our male listeners, don't use this. Veet for Men hair removal cream. When was this out? Like, when did that guy write this?
November of 2012, so it's not that long.
Oh, Lordy.
Location. "I like the clean-shaven look down on my gentleman's log cabin, so for the past 2 years I've used a shaver. However, the hair keeps growing back, which means every 6 months I have to spend 20 minutes trimming again. As I'm sure you've realized, this is a valuable time that I cannot waste, so I've decided to get the root of the problem and purchase this product." Read more, click on. "Probably the first thing you should notice after using this product is the pain. Although as a man, I lack the required experience, I'm going to estimate that using this product is at least 11 times more painful than childbirth. Imagine sticking a rusty razor blade into your favorite eye before trying your hands behind your back. Then imagine that you can use the entrenched razor blade to slice open a raw onion. And while being butt naked, this product is slightly more painful than that. However, if we ignore the blinding, crippling, and debilitating pain, I should point out that this product is remarkably effective. Before all manner of organisms, great and small, live down there, now nothing can grow, not even on a cellular level. Sadly, this indicates my genitalia. I spent the last 4 hours staring..." I spent the last 4 hours staring fixedly at Carol Vordmore. Who's Carol Vordmore's eyes?
I don't know. I think this is what I want. If he gets to the Olympics.
My Tinky Winkleton hasn't even so much as perked up. So if my review seems a bit harsh, it's only because I wanted children. All in all, an effective, reasonably priced product. 3 stars. $4.95.
Yes, yes.
Oh, there's one about the Olympics where he talks about the hurdles and everything that he did, and like the Olympics are coming to London, and he just says spread a little over the little of this over the arse of a British runner, and he'll do the hurdles, the high jump.
This guy says poor man's sex change operation. This will remove all male parts if applied to the groin area. That may warrant a 5-star if that's what you're wanting to accomplish, or a 1-star if all you wanted to do was remove hair. And the next person called this, 4 stars, Napalm's second cousin. That's good. That's got to feel good.
All right, so you got to read this through and try to find the one about the Olympics and all the different Olympic events he did trying to run back home from where he sat in the park waiting for the burn to start.
Makes my fart sound louder. My hair must have acted as an interlocking silencer. I give it a big thumbs up. 5 stars. $4.95.
Is this not the funniest thing?
This is ridiculous.
God bless Beat for Men.
This is ridiculous. Oh, my God. Well, we are in the last 15 minutes of this show, so we are going to go with this at this time. Oh. Because, oh, we just...
Oh, my God. Someone wrote 5 stars, Rita, great for see. Negroes.
Yeah.
Not quite sure what that means.
What?
Is that the long one? The whole
I'm thing? A fat black man, and I suffer from chest afro, as well as an astroturf jungle. So something, I don't know if this is...
There's a lot going on with that.
I see something about Chef Boyardee's, the New York Yankees. This is fucking serious.
We have lost complete control of everything, ladies and gentlemen. 9:46, it's the show with Clayton McKee. That is me along with Katie June and Al Perkins and apparently the cast of Veet. So we are going to go into our final segment, which I'm surprised we didn't start a long time ago on this Tuesday night.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
Listening to your
my voice.
Yes.
We all must be quiet.
Well, silence.
Most
silencio.
Often. Okay. So we are in our Thoughtful Vulgarity segment, and we always maybe we shouldn't at this point. Give it over to Mr. Perkins.
This is a good one. Do you give up too soon?
Like with what?
Like whatever you want that to apply to. Do you feel you just give up, or are you a person that just plugs and plugs?
I don't know. I think for me, the first thing I think of is relationship wise, right. And I am a serial monogamist. I am like someone who has been in only
that's a newfound thing for you, isn't it?
Well, no. Let me be clear. In the periods between really legitimate monogamy, I am. I'm gonna just
Angie
get
Dickinson.
Crazy. Yeah. Let's get crazy. Yes,
I'm
gonna be crazy. But when I'm with someone, I'm like, and I say that because I had a boyfriend that was like 6 years, and then I had Mal Kelly, and I've been together for almost seven years.
Wow.
So I've done in a short period of time. So like my gratuitous sex was like jammed into some really short periods of time. Like I'm, yeah.
I don't have to say it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Things that need to be said.
Yeah. Or
code
not.
For.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, so I don't give up. I don't think in that regard. I don't know. I don't think I give up. I don't think I give up very easily. I want to be successful at the things that I do. Like, you know, I don't know. I think about the endurance sports that I've done, and I want to give up. I want to get off the bike, and I want to just be fucking done. And there's not a chance. I would never get up.
Yeah.
When I'm swimming in swimming races, I want to give up bad. Like, I really want to be done, and I would never, never, never. I don't know. I don't think so. There are, even in my work sometimes, I want to say, I'm done. That's it. I'm done. I'm done working. I would never. I would never. So, I actually don't think I give up at things. At all.
I don't give up ever. Mm-mm. I typically never do. In fact, the funny thing is Matt Little refers to me. He gets annoyed with something, like if we're dealing with a customer issue, and I'm just trying to find a resolution to whatever it is. And he calls it my never say die attitude. He always refers to that. So if I just won't give up and I'm still, you know, nobody's dead, but there's something that's annoying and I've just got to figure it out, I will research and research and research and try to figure out what the hell it is. There's always an answer for something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's always, and I'm terrible that way.
Yeah.
And I also it goes back to the fact that I do like routine and I like so many things to be regimented and the way that they are. I don't give up on certain things. Like if I'm fixated on something, if it's a purchase, if it's a goal, if it's a person, if whatever, I will stalk them until the ends of the earth.
Oh yeah.
And then and only once the restraining order is put in place. Things Clayton McKee would say. No, but most projects or something. I mean, I may be delayed in the start of the project, but once the ball is rolling on the project or what it is, no, I typically just, I'm there and we just go until it's done.
I just want to chime in because it made me think again. I procrastinate to the nth degree. Like, I will procrastinate until I can.
Why do today what you can happily put off till tomorrow?
No longer procrastinate, and I do that, and that's bad. Like, I need therapy for that. But I will say,
you want to stop the procrastination, but you don't want to. Whatever.
At your leisure,
at some point. But I procrastinate till the end, but I will get shit done and I won't give up on it. But you know, it makes me think of, like, I had this big grand idea for my daughter's first birthday and I procrastinated till the fucking end. But it looked exactly how I wanted it. And I stayed up like 24 hours for a week, which is whatever 24 hours times a week is.
Yeah.
And I crafted my fucking ass off because I know that's not major, but to me it was.
Hours.
To me it was major that I was like, I'm gonna fucking get this done. And Kelly's like, you know, you don't have to have all these little details. And I'm like, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
That's
yes,
what
I do.
Works. That's what works.
And I stayed up, and it was. I loved how it turned out. But yeah, so I don't give up. I will punish myself to get to that point. But
I'm exactly the same. Like, I will put off anything that can possibly wait one more hour, and then I'm always the last minute person, but I will not give up. Once it's locked and loaded, there is no end to the, because I don't have the C part of OCD, but I have the O part in a way that, like,
oh yeah,
trumps for missing a letter. Like, I am so obsessive with stuff, but once it's in my sights, or once I say to someone, I'm yes. gonna do this,
yeah.
and once it's out there in the world, I will not back down. Like, then it's,
I get very annoyed with, if it's something that I can't control in regards to, if I have to rely on somebody else.
Oh, if I can't control it, I don't give a shit. If it's not in my control,
no.
I am the easiest person to be like, oh, well, no,
but
my
like,
fault.
But like, well, the world that I'm in regards to the customer service of for Edge, for example. Well, there's a company in Boston that I have to deal with that does credit card processing. You know, and then there's Matt and his schedule that, you know, there are other people that are involved that I can't just snap my fingers and make something happen. I have to rely on other people to get in, and it just lines up in a work queue and I have to wait for stuff. And you know, it affects my ability to affect people.
Oh, and that's,
and that drives me crazy.
As soon as someone else doesn't put what I'm putting in, I'm done. If it's a group project, or if it's something where we're relying on each other and you're dropping the ball, I will not pick up your slack. I'll just run to the end and be like, oh, she's dead.
Oh, I am the opposite in a group project. If someone else isn't picking up their slack, I look at it as really, and I think I've done this always, is it's my time to shine. And I'm like, oh, Al, don't worry about it. Just stay home, honey. And then I will put in more hours.
By the way,
hours.
Al stayed home.
I don't know that I did that. I'm thinking about like some really serious projects I had in school. I'm thinking back to like college and where I took the whole thing and ran with it. And we would get an A+.
And that's what I did. If I said it was going to be done,
exactly,
then it will be done. But I will not give. I will not bring you up to the stand with me for the glory.
No.
I'm going to be standing there. I'm going to say, you need it for the presentation. You just sit over there.
You just sit over there. Yeah. Like, you did nothing for this.
I don't know. I also...
Now, if I did nothing, I will stand up and pretend like I did it all. I will bullshit my way through and get the credit, because I have done that and with no shame whatsoever.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that it is...
don't break your own pat your own back.
The other piece is like just the commitment piece. And it's just really interesting the things that stick with you from being young and being a child. And I can remember, because I was really involved with my church when I was a little kid. And, you know, I was like in the youth group and the choir and the blah, 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 blah. And my mom was also really involved. And I said, you know, I have been forever, yes, ma'am. So someone says, can you do this? And I'm like, sure. And when I was young, I remember, I don't remember the specifics, but I said at church, yeah, I'll do that. Sure. And then I remember telling my mom, I just don't want to go. But I was like old enough to where I was driving there. You know, like it was, she didn't get me there. I had to get myself there. Yeah. So it was like on me. And I remember saying, I don't want to go. I don't want to do this. I just don't want to go. And she was really, looked me in the eye and said, you committed. You're going. Yeah. You don't want to do this next time, you don't commit to it. But you're committed and you're doing it.
You're going to complete this project or whatever.
And for all of the faults that I have, I don't flake out on my commitments. If I tell someone I'm going to do it, I'm going to fucking do it. Yeah. And even if I go internally kicking and screaming and saying, why did I commit to this? I don't want to do this. I'm going to show up with a smile on my face and I'm going to get it done.
Right,
every time.
And I'm this. That's exactly what my parents would have said to me. Yeah. Like, next time, don't say yes.
But then you don't have to worry about it.
And don't look to us
to get you out of it.
To my parents said it was okay if I didn't. My parents would be like, oh no, we'll shoot you in the head before we'll take that.
Oh, my parents would not let me out of that. Stuff.
I had going to that point, if you're not wanting to do something, I had a group locally ask me to host an event for them. And we had talked, and it was all good. And all of a sudden, I see the promotion posters come out in magazines and everywhere. And all of a sudden, I'm not in it. And I call, and I couldn't get to somebody. Hmm. And they were like, oh, yeah, well, we made a last-minute decision. I'm like, no. Let me tell you how this works. You booked me. I have already been promoting your event, and my name is on this.
Oh, no.
And so I gave him an earful. I'm like, don't ever, ever call me and to book something and then change on me. I said, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't
do
that.
In the same way that you would not have done that to them.
Right. If you booked them,
you weren't going to call them the day before and be like, guess what, JK.
I got a trip to San Diego I got to take. No.
You would have done it.
No, so I would never do that.
They can't do it either.
And that just, it pissed me off because I don't know that they ever realized it, but I'm like, I'm not Dick Clark. I'm not some big, but it's just the fact that for me in the community that we're in,
you are Dick Clark. You are.
You commit to something and you're telling people that you're doing something, and all of a sudden, well, we were going to go. Why weren't you there? Well, they screwed me at the last minute. Mm. I wasn't even getting paid for anything. It's not that I was making money on it. I just don't like the fact that
it's your public persona.
So though you showed up to something and did something you didn't really want to do later on, at the same time, I don't want them to pull the rug out from under me and all of a sudden change everything.
But it's the two-way street. Yeah.
But I have a much more realistic attitude now of like what I can say I can do. Mm. Like I'm starting to get a little bit more balanced with work too. Like I now have a very realistic picture of my mental health and how and I just suffered from like really, really bad burnout at work, like extremely bad burnout.
Like recently?
Oh yeah. Like the beginning of May, I was ready to kill people. Like I was just done. And it wasn't because like my job is bad or anything. I was burned out. I had worked too much. But
you
I
were working some crazy hours.
But I kept signing up for more. So once I sign up for it, I can't not do it. Like right. I said I would be
and
here.
And it's your job. So I hate when someone asks me to sub for something. They're like, can you sub? And I go,
yeah, that's
sure. And then I can't do it. And then I'm like, fuck, I can't put this back on
them. Because they made better plans.
It's my job now. I hate that.
So I've had to learn to say no thank you. And I have to tell people, like, while that sounds like a fun thing to do, I need a mental health day. Like I have to decompress.
It's important. Yeah. It's important so that you can continue to do your job and or other commitments realistically and well.
And Harrison said that she used to be a giver-upper, but she's now more of a stick-to-iter. And I that's definitely true of her. Not that I don't think she was ever a giver upper, but she's definitely a stick to it. And Joe
stick to itiveness, Harrison.
And Joe says that it he does it to a fault. But right.
I agree with what Joe said. Q-Talk would not be what it is without him. I agree. And he was here today showing me more stuff.
God bless Joe. Yeah.
It never ever
and Clayton
ends.
And Babe.
It never ends.
Yeah. Like you know some of the like original.
If you want
Q-talkers.
Something nice, you just got to keep pushing along. Yeah. Well, thank you for listening. It's the end of hour three. My name is Clayton McKee. I'm here with Katie June, Al Perkins. Marnie had the night off, but we made it without her.
Somehow we managed to fill 3 hours.
She'll be back next week.
I don't know how we did
We would
it.
Like to leave you with one final thought. We will
see you next Tuesday.
Things Angie Dickinson would say.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.